3 hours of sleep, and she said that the look on my face was one of these. I can't translate it on the radio. I have to show it to you. And it was like me going, startled, you look kind like of gasping for air, face of a, confused, face waking of a new, up on the couch.
A newborn.
yeah, a little newborn-ish, and waking up on the couch where Carla apparently left me. And she had gotten the same amount of sleep and was out till the same wee hour. And, God love her, if she hadn't awakened at that hour, she slept through her alarm, which I think was set for 5:30, and slept through an hour. And 6:30, we had time to get our act together, but I hadn't even packed. Wow. So I really didn't prepare for this trip. So the entire trip down to New Orleans and most of that day was just a lost day.
The timeline on this is that...
Had a 9 o'clock flight, 9 a.m. flight.
You started partying on Friday night.
Big time.
Okay, all right, I got you. Thus, by the time you're going to New Orleans,
there were two party
that's
days.
That's where you had the 3 hours of sleep.
There were two party days in on the New Orleans weekend. There was Friday night, which completely just destroyed Saturday.
But you were not you were in Virginia.
I was in Virginia,
so it was not a New Orleans
got
night.
Got a little the recovery took place soon enough to arrive, and you'll know the condition I was in. I slept from the time the plane lifted off. Until the time we landed, and you know how easy that is to do for me. I can't do that.
Mike's a phobic flyer, so
I was out the whole, and that was what saved me. It was about 2.5 hours of blissful sleep on the plane, but then
good restful drunk sleep.
It was restful drunk sleep, but when we landed,
RDS.
It was during the day, and I got a chance to enjoy the sights and sounds of New Orleans, and then turned in early, and that was followed by Sunday, which was the true. Wonderful day, and I spoke to you well before my intense New Orleans party day had started, with the city just a joyous place to be after the Saints' victory. It was really a great place to be.
RDS, not to be confused with RLS. Excuse me for one second, Mike.
Yes,
for a brief tangent. If this is not the biggest come on, have you seen these ads yet?
No,
with the people going. I don't know what it is. I sit down and my legs my legs don't feel quite right.
Okay.
I tap
it's
my...
It's RLS.
What did I say?
Restless legs. Say RDS?
RDS is what you had.
Which is...
What's that?
I don't know.
Drunk sleep.
Yes. RLS, and that made me think
it's
of...
It's restless leg syndrome.
Which is just the biggest bunch of hooey. Stop and think about it for a second. Who doesn't lay in bed at some point and go... my leg is a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Now you need a pill for this? Now you have restless leg syndrome?
Some people kick a lot.
Yeah, Carla has it.
Yeah. To go back in time, think, what did the pioneers do? How the frig did we do anything
they
in this country?
Are you questioning whether it is a legitimate affliction?
I'm not. Yes, and also the fact that now they're hawking pills for it.
I forgot what she says it does. But
it's Viagra.
She says it. It's. I forgot exactly what the symptoms are, but I can find out for you.
Your leg is restless.
No,
yes,
it's
Rob, that's exactly
it's right. It's something where you kick it out.
Do you suffer?
Yes, I do. I call it twitchy leg syndrome myself.
Ah. You don't take pills for it, do you, big pussy?
Of course not.
Okay, good.
Is it twitchy leg like the whole leg moves, or is it just muscles in the leg move?
It's kind of like they describe it on the commercial. You just kind of feel like your leg's a little bit jumpy.
But hold on. Hasn't everybody – this is my point. Hasn't everybody felt that – and you could use the same argument with all the commercials for anxiety, and depression and everything else. But this is just going to an absolute new level now.
Hey, didn't Mrs. Costanza have what they called the Jimmy legs on Seinfeld? Isn't that the same thing?
Jimmy legs.
I could be mistaken, but someone had the Jimmy legs.
Well, Buzz, you've probably done an ad for it.
And no, right. I haven't actually. But right. It's a lot
start
of people.
One.
Couples have trouble with this because one partner will kick the other throughout the night, and obviously
what happens if a partner kicks the person during the day?
That's a different problem.
Here's the thing: isn't that something that's been throughout history?
Sure.
That the man kicks during the sleep,
but
the
we don't have
kicks
bundling
during...
boards.
Oops, I'm sorry. What Buzz?
We don't have bundling boards the way the pioneers did.
Yeah, anyway. Bungling. Is it bungling boards?
Bundling
boards.
Yes. Hey, those made a lot of sense, my friend.
I have a king size bed, but sleep in the very last spot. The last. Are you applauding my king size bed?
I am.
I've got a tiny little. Good for you.
Good for you. I am going to give you my prognosis, my medical experience says, restless leg syndrome. You need these pills now.
Yes, and we will charge you a fortune for them.
You say your foot feels like ginger ale?
That's here. It. That's what she says.
Uh-huh. Take these pills.
That's one of her things. Her feet feel like ginger ale, but she has never taken any medication for it.
Right.
But you know what? When it comes on TV, she says, I've got that.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of people do. So now they can just talk them into buying drugs.
They've already done it, Mike.
They've already done it?
RLS. I mean, it's there.
There's a foundation for it.
It's
the Restless Leg Syndrome Foundation.
I experienced a lot of RDS over the weekend.
Yes.
Restful drunken sleep. But I wasn't so out of it that I didn't enjoy that game on Saturday night.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hey, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you, when I was pregnant, I had really bad restless leg syndrome. And all you have to do is get up and, like, walk around a little bit. You don't need to take no pills.
Right. Thank you, honey.
You don't have to take no pills.
Don and Mike Show. Click, 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 click. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Howdy.
I have that twitchy leg thing every day. And my doctor told me it's because I work my meat too much.
All right, he's a man's a butcher, obviously.
Hang up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy. What, Rob?
There's a pill for that now?
Hello.
Yeah, there's different forms of RLS. I mean, there's like minor forms and there's severe forms. But if it affects you to the point where you can't sleep and your legs are just constantly twitching.
Please.
And
you know what? Then cut your legs off, for goodness
That's
sake.
Right.
Please.
That's what the pioneers
are you
did.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my leg is got ginger ale-y feel. Give me a pill.
1 in 10 Americans have
Hello.
It, Don.
Don and Mike Show, please.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, Buzz. Hey, Rob.
1 in 10 Americans got an itchy butt, too. Uh-huh. But you don't see a pill for that. You know what the answer
is? Hey, what are you
going
to be doing next, Mr. Sensitive? Are you going to say people with cancer are making it up? Huh? Is that what it's going to be? Huh? People with an aneurysm fall downstairs. They're making it up? Is that what it is?
Well, Mike?
Yes, I know. The theory long held by you. Everybody's faking it.
No, listen, of course.
The only way that they prove that they're not faking it,
is
of
when
course,
they check out.
Is when they're underground.
Right. Yes.
That's
and,
it.
And then, right. Oh, do they get the last laugh then, huh? Hey, you laughed about my restless leg syndrome. Look at me now.
I'm the epitaph. I told you so.
Hello, that's Mike. It. No, of course. There is a space between dreaded diseases and made up stuff, like, you know what restless leg syndrome is?
What is it?
It's like Sweetest Day. It
Only
really
without
is
the cards.
Sweetest Day is
what
a,
is Sweetest Day?
Sweetest
oh,
Day.
Oh, Sweetheart's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it Sweetest Day or Sweetheart's
I've heard
Day?
Both. Sweetheart's Day, Sweetest Day.
It's Sweetheart's Day. Doesn't that fall between Valentine's Day and like Memorial Day?
Yes, it's right. A made up.
Right, just
it's
completely
a made up
made
holiday.
Up. Yeah,
just like Grandparents' Day.
Exactly. Right.
And those are made by Hallmark. RLS was made by the drug equivalent of
Pfizer.
Hallmark.
Didn't Hallmark make Mother's Pfizer. Day, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, they're all, I guess you get down to it, they're all made up.
They made up Christmas, too.
That's Hello. What I heard.
Don and Mike Show. Well, the way we do it now, they did,
the
for
pagans.
Goodness sakes.
The pagans.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, the pagan.
Hey, guys, good afternoon.
Hi.
Jimmy Lake Syndrome is from the Lucy Show. When she's wiggling his legs while he's sitting in the wheelchair.
From the Lucy Show.
No, that's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That's when Michael Caine comes over and he hits Steve Martin with the stick.
Yeah, what's that have to do with Lucy?
No. The I Love Lucy Show when with Ricky Ricardo, when the guy's sitting, Ricky's playing an old man and she's jimmying his leg, wiggling his legs to keep the circulation going.
Is that when she wiggles his legs and he starts eating the bonbons?
I don't recall.
He says, between the toes, Lucy.
And then he jumps out of the wheelchair and he starts to make wine.
Isn't that the episode where Ricky becomes aroused?
No, yeah, right. That's and then Fred comes over and takes Lucy in the bad place.
Yeah, while he's wearing a pillow.
They rape the S out of Mrs. Trumbull.
Good day.
Bye-bye. It's in the box set. It's in the Lucy box set.
I got it.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Hey, Rob A., regarding the Jimmy Legs reference, that was Kramer's girlfriend.
That's what it was.
All right.
Jimmy Legs.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hello, one more here. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
RLS is real, Don. I have it.
RLS is made
up.
This
is a serious caller
real
here.
Real, Don. You don't even know. You wouldn't know unless you had it.
Yeah, hello, I think I've got it. I think it's called either a cramp or you get to bed and you go, oh, my leg feels a little.
This guy sounds like
a
long-time
really,
sufferer.
It,
I would never take that medicine, but I really do think I have it. I mean,
well, then I urge you to get a big knife, my friend. Cut off both of those legs immediately.
That's I urge you to learn a joke, jerk.
You urge me to run a joke?
No, learn a joke instead of just sitting there and talking about nothing every day.
Learn a joke, like
what is the hostility?
Learn a joke.
Are you really an RLS sufferer?
What is learn one, Fatso.
What? He got angry and then he hung up.
Jesus.
Learn a joke. How many whores does it take to give birth to a retard? One.
You know, I always tell you when you make fun when you make fun of the afflicted.
Oh, that guy did have RLS. It was really lame syndrome. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Really loopy syndrome. Real loser syndrome. Hello.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they cut your legs off, wouldn't it be restless stump syndrome?
Right. RSS. Right.
Yeah, you know what? You'd still have the restless leg syndrome. You just wouldn't. It wouldn't be there.
What's you just have thumping? To keep, just have to keep cutting away.
Cutting away.
Cutting away until you.
Until you're just like a torso.
Just like one of those stress squeeze things.
Yes.
You know, like the little guy where his face goes all nuts.
You're all face.
Face. Everything a face. Okay, well, I sidetracked everything with RLS there. So it's Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I get a call from Mike.
Right.
Now, you sure did sound like you were either at the beginning or the end of what happened.
Nope.
Here's the conversation.
No, I was just happy. I just come from Café Du Monde, and I'd had, the beignets, and I'd had my hot cocoa because I don't drink coffee, and was enjoying the beignets, and then stumbled upon. I actually was looking for this for you a good part of Saturday, but stumbled into the right place that had them, and I told you I was going to pick you up a Reggie Bush jersey, and I even though I was calling him Reggie Brown, I'm not sure that was. That's
that
what clued you in. Well, no, what it was
here's,
Saturday night I had restless leg syndrome, and it was very, very difficult for me.
Rob, would you please get me a joke, just so I have one handy?
That's a joke.
The next time someone calls and says, hey, tell a joke,
I like
make sure that I have a joke ready.
It's a good feature.
So Mike calls, I pick up the phone, hello, and I get the Major Bill voice. He goes, hello, Dodd.
It was more upbeat, Major Bill. Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, it was like,
that's what it was. Hey, what'd you? Because it was a beautiful day. Temperatures in the 70s.
And I said, good morning. And he said, I'm at the coffee place. And he said, I'm going to find you cotton picket shirt, a Reggie Brown. Now, who do you want?
I said, Drew Brees or Reggie Brown?
Drew Brees or Reggie Brown. I said, because there is a guy named Reggie Brown who plays for Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
I said, no, I guess Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Don't you like Reggie Brown?
I was going to get you Deuce McAllister, but they were out. They were out. He was a hero.
Sure.
He was a hero on Sunday.
So I said to Mike, do you mean Reggie Bush? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush.
I'm looking at it right now, Dodd.
So I gave you the choice between Drew Brees and Reggie Bush.
But you kept referring to him
as Reggie Brown.
Reggie
Brown.
Like
5 times, didn't I?
Even at the end of the conversation, you said, all right, well, you have a good day.
And look for that Reggie Brown jersey coming your way. I don't know why that happened, but I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. It might have been a reaction from Friday. You know, I still might have been recovering from Friday. But look what I got. There it is for you.
Got me a Reggie Brown shirt.
And I got you another thing in there, too, that's just a little something. You know, that's what you do in New Orleans, right?
Sure.
You throw the little something that's worthless in with the something that's worthwhile.
The lanyap, a little something extra.
Yeah, I got a lanyap in there for you, too.
Yeah, look at that.
There it is.
Sweet Reggie.
That's your Reggie Brown jersey right there.
It would be sacrilegious to wear this today because I'm wearing all this Packers crap.
I know, but I figured
tomorrow, Mike.
Your jerseys. And then look in the bag. Look in the bag. There's another little New Orleans trinket, a lanyap in there.
I love jumping on a bandwagon.
And that'll go with your outfit today. Oh, give me mine. Give me mine.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Red Sox beads and Packers beads.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, got the Red Sox beads there.
Hey, you done good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad you like it.
Hey, you're a buddy.
That's a hell of a lanyap.
You're a buddy.
Isn't that a nice lanyap, like the Packer thing?
Yeah.
Because as you know, I have been on the Saints bandwagon forever.
All right, I wrote that down because I want to talk to you.
Forever, Saints, forever. One-footed guard.
I want to talk to you about
goal
that.
Ever.
I want to talk to you about that because I really didn't break down. I was tempted all day on Saturday to buy the jersey for myself and wear it, and I didn't do that because I wanted to be a Fairweather fan, but I didn't want to be that kind of Fairweather fan because that town, it was just so much fun. You know I love the city of Philadelphia. Nobody loves that city more than I do.
I think maybe they do.
But no, I just got so caught up with it. You can't. They are so cool, the fans down there. And, you know, I mean, talk about people that really just deserve it, you know, the people that are down there. And it was really great to be in that town with that game and everybody just going out of their minds. And then, of course, you know, on Sunday, rooting for Seattle equally hard to see if they get the NFC Championship
game
to
New
come
Orleans.
Back, and they didn't get that. But what the hell? They're still going. And it's exciting. It really. But I never bought a jersey for myself because, you know what? I'm not a jersey wearer. You wear jerseys all the time.
Love to. Thank you for the Reggie Bush jersey. It's
bought wonderful. Myself a nice little subtle New Orleans Saints T-shirt, and I figured that sufficed for the big celebration. Really enjoyed
it. You could be in Jersey Boys.
That was he was just throwing it. Yeah. Rusty, Rob has lots of jokes.
He said, he's
out of his mind happy today.
He said I could be in Jersey Boys.
You know, on Broadway.
Because I have so many jerseys.
Jersey Boys. I
see,
get it.
That doesn't count as the joke, the emergency
That's not
joke.
The
no.
Emergency joke.
The emergency joke.
Okay, because I want to have a joke. Well, Mike, thank you. That was a wonderful gift. Thank you for thinking of me. You
My
know,
pleasure.
I'm, as I mentioned, a bandwagon guy. Let's go, Saints.
Yeah, go, Saints. You've go to the Super Bowl. Come on, Saints.
So, I understand that you partied before you went there.
Yeah, that didn't count, though. That was just your run-of-the-mill Friday night
What
stuff.
About when you were actually in the city that hope forgot that smells like a urinal cake?
It started out at the Court of Two Sisters. You know that restaurant?
I know it well. Yes.
Buzz knows that place. You've been there, Don. We've been there together. We went there with
Really? Have I?
We went there with Sam Benrubi one night.
I don't remember, Mike, but
it was the Sambuca night when we were there.
That's why I don't remember it.
That's why you don't remember it. But started out there, hooked up with a couple of friends of Carla's. And went down, I think it's called St.
Yeah,
Charles.
Yeah, hooked up.
St. Charles Place.
Sure, hooked up, that means doing it.
And we ended up heading down St. Charles Place, mm-hmm. you know, through this amazing area of New Orleans that I'd never even seen and went into another town. But by the time we get to this this suburb of New Orleans, I didn't even really know where I was.
How many times were you robbed?
None. Zero.
Good, see?
I was asked for money four times, well, including one time that I was asked by yesterday. And I did like the classic suburban "what school do you go to" thing, where I had all my gambling money in my wallet.
Uh-huh. Gambling,
and I reach out to give this guy like $3, uh-huh. and I got all my cash for the trip. And it was the stupidest way. It was the textbook example of how not. I mean, if the guy had really been desperate, he could have like tackled me and grabbed the wallet. But I, I took out like almost like your grandmother would take out a little dollar at the the ladies that have the change purses at the grocery store. That's literally what I was doing because I was so out of it. And I'm like, oh, here you go, 1, 2, 3. But no, a couple of times there are a lot of people that are down there. Like any city, you've got that like what we have out here in Rockville too. We have people that come up to you, hey. Hey, buddy, could you give me a couple of bucks to get something to eat? So I gave him a couple of bucks to get something to eat.
Right.
But it was really the city was on the way back. I mean, I didn't obviously because I'm in the touristy area. The French Quarter didn't get whacked by Katrina like other areas right. did. But I'd say the city's well on its way. I mean, you look at the Superdome, and I remember the pictures of the Superdome right after the tragedy. And you look at it and you go, my God, they really did. They did do some amazing things to make it back. I hope that they can turn around the rest of the city and the areas that got completely decimated. And you hear a lot of stories about that they're really not making the kind of progress they should be down there. But as far as, where the money is, as far as people coming in and generating money for the area with tourism and all that, I would tell people, man, go knock yourselves out, have a great time. I didn't detect any discernible change from those little tourist areas. It was really still, a couple of places on Canal Street, and in other areas of the quarter that are still closed, a lot of places that are kind of renovating and remodeling. But really, you can go down there and have just as much of a good time as any other time. I just couldn't talk Sunday night. I couldn't talk Carla into going to world-famous Love Axe.
Oh,
I couldn't.
That's too bad.
You have to remember that sign.
You know
it's
why?
It's a big lake neon sign. It's been there for 50 years.
Yes.
Not to go down a dark road, if you'll
yes,
pardon the pun.
Yes.
Haven't you been there with other ladies in your life?
Not to that place. I've been there by myself.
Where did you go with Laura one time when you went to New Orleans? Didn't you go like to a sex? God, were there people having sex inside?
Or simulating it?
No, you guys. I don't think so I blocked all that out. I'd rather not talk about it. I've completely blocked that up. And
didn't mean to bring up the L word.
I did.
Sorry.
Please, man, what are you doing to me? Well, yeah, here I am telling a perfectly good story my current life, and you're bringing back horrible memories for me. Why are you doing that to me? I mean, here I am talking about today, current New Orleans, and you want to just destroy me by bringing up these horrible, well, now, painful Mike, memories, you know, that I just want to, you know, forget completely. I really do.
Okay.
No, the only other time
we'll
that
hit the easy button. We'll erase the segment.
The easy button.
Sorry that I brought it up.
Yeah. Well, no, it was. You know,
I do remember you going to independent of it. Who was
actually
with you.
Might have been my first wife.
Ah,
I truly do. I have no. I don't. You know what? It's such a fun city. Who knows? But it was great. I had a really good time. I really, really had a fabulous good. Time. And I didn't get murdered. Which, you know, you said I was going to get murdered, and I didn't get murdered.
No,
so
I said
it didn't happen.
They had a string of murders, and good for you that
oh
you made
God,
it in
I
and
just,
out alive.
I just remember what happened, though.
What?
Where I ended up, and I didn't even jot this down from my weekend.
Where?
I was sitting in a gay bar.
Hey!
Shock.
Carla said, let's go to the
That's
gay bar.
That's right.
I love to dance at gay bars, and I ended up sitting at the bar
homo
for a very interesting 10 minutes. And, you know, the gay people have returned to New Orleans.
I was thinking that I have a feeling she may be a lesbian.
So you were at a gay bar and your girlfriend was dancing with lesbos?
There weren't any lesbians there.
So she was dancing with gay men.
There wasn't a lesbian that I could see.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
For miles and miles around. All I know is I sat at the bar. I don't think I think I did order a drink. And the bartender didn't have a shirt on.
Hey, now.
Yep. Yep.
Hey.
And it was one of those. It was one of the last places on Sunday night that we stopped. And I was just sitting there. And she ventured off and came back about 5 minutes later. I said, did you dance? She said, no, it was too crowded. So she came walking. But I had a good 5 minutes by myself at the gay bar. And you know what you think? You think, hey, this is a gay bar. You know. Is someone going to come up to me? But, you know, now
no one did.
Men, women, it doesn't matter. No one bothered.
I'm sorry.
No one came up to me, and we were there. Because you know how the quarter works.
What time were you there? Was it late?
Yes. Yeah, so, like last stop.
So you could have been some guys, you know how when a two turns into a 10 when it actually turns 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. It was awfully, you know, crowded and right at the peak time. It could have been late, but I'm not sure because the day started early, so that you know the time was not all that late. For us, it was late. It was late in the day for me.
So some gay gigolo hadn't just been sizing up his options and towards the end of the evening say, you know what?
Not a chance.
Look at that one in the Red Sox jersey. He's kind of pugnacious looking.
I was talking to
Look at him. He's been sitting there all night. He's with a woman, but look at him.
I was talking to the bartender.
Look at the ass on him.
I wish. But there were two bar stools on my right, two bar stools on my left.
Stools.
And I even went to the bathroom.
Wow. At the bar?
At the gay bar. Nothing was going on
at the bar.
I went to the bathroom in my pants at the bar. No, I walked in. I completely.
You went into a
now
bathroom.
I know why I forgot that, because it was like the wee hours of the morning. But I went into the bathroom. I had to go. And Carlo had ventured out to the dance floor.
Number
I thought.
One or number two?
Oh, number two. No. No, number one. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But if I'd had to. I would have.
Oh, my God.
It was, but I completely forgot that until just now. And I realized that was one of the last things we did. That was one of the last things that we did in New Orleans was with our night out. And because the people that we had been hanging out with, and I don't remember
these
their
are
names.
People that you just met down there?
No, Carla's
her
in
friend.
Carla's business. She,
right,
she
okay.
knows this lady and her husband, and we had a nice brunch. And then the brunch turned into going out to this other area, and nothing much was happening. Went to a sports bar to watch the end of the Patriots game and had a guy come up and start talking to me. Mm. And he knew the show from Lafayette. We're not on in Lafayette anymore.
Right.
It's a shock, Mike.
And
he
has
his voice. He apparently had been at the Saints game the night before, and he wanted to say, I loved you guys. I wish you were still on here.
He was in the gay bar?
No, this was at a sports bar. I'm
sports
jumping
bar.
Around a little bit here, so bear with
say,
me.
Is it a sports gay bar?
No, this was a sports bar.
A sports bar.
Big long tables, and I could not tell you the name of it or where it was.
Can I tell you, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
My leg feels like ginger ale.
You have restless leg syndrome?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
We have to break, Mike. No, my leg is fine. We just have
I have a lot more to tell you about New Orleans, including a list of the food that I ate.
Oh, good.
Okay, now
I'm not.
We're talking.
Because of the conditions that I was in on several times, I will not be able to take you through meal by meal, but I've done a reasonably good idea of listing everything that I ate, including the New Orleans food
right.
that I ate.
Okay.
If you want, I'll put everything I ate down there.
Well, I think we all like hearing what you had to eat over a holiday weekend.
You should have seen what I ate at the gay bar. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
So you say.
The city that care for God.
That's right.
You know, the way it works in that quarter is you walk down this street and you get to the final, like, quadrant of it, and that's where it was, like, at the end of the line.
Is that where it turns,
on the trolley is where,
is that
the
where
gay.
It turns gay?
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe so. I think it might even be Bourbon Street, where you walk far enough on Bourbon Street and you're in the gay section.
Brown
and I mean,
bourbon.
You, I mean, bam, you go across the street and pow, there it is. And Carla said, oh, come on, come on, come on, let's go in. I said, and I, you know, I was putty at that point. I said, well, what am I saying? I was the one that dragged Carla in there. I said, let's go in. Let's
Carla, go in. I'm going to the bathroom. Attention, gay men.
Now, I don't know what it was, but Carla said, I said I was in the bathroom for a minute and a half, that I just went to, you know, number one. She said I was in there for 2.5 hours. So I don't know what happened.
Came out with the cranberry juice.
I don't know, but I just felt wonderful the next day.
Who's got it right?
Butt bleeding.
I felt lighter. Truly.
What is this? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, you were either at Oz or the pub.
What, the gay bar?
Yes.
I don't know. Don't remember. Names are real. Forget
that. Was the dancers on the bar?
What? I don't remember. I was really, how I was when I paid that bet off?
Well, body language,
even though I was a little
street,
body language was kind of head down, kind of looking up like this.
Okay.
But it was open air. What?
You weren't passed out on the sidewalk, were you?
No. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Chuckles.
Bye-bye. Come on, Mike. We're all laughing at the thought of you drunk in a gay bar.
I know that.
Just sitting at the bar by yourself.
Like they all are. They're
giving off the vibe like, hey, I saw Brokeback Mountain. Won't somebody hit on me so at least I can be hit on?
I have one of those oversized cowboy hats on.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so let's see. Support our troops. We had this on the show last week. Sergeant in trouble for Playboy spread.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sergeant Michelle Manhart.
Air Force Staff Sergeant.
And she's just as hot can be. She's in the new Playboy. And before we get her on the phone, I know, Mike, you're anxious to see.
I have not seen this. Will be my first reaction.
You're in for a treat.
And oh my.
Enlistment will be up because of this.
Look at that. Look at
I
her.
Can't see. Hold
look
on.
Her. Look at her VG.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Look at her vagi.
Her vagine?
Yeah.
She is absolutely
got a
gorgeous.
Little tiny mustache on it.
My God.
Look at those big boobs.
If it's a disguise, it's not working.
She's really, really a good-looking lady, isn't
she?
She's spectacular. I mean, she could be like one of the regular models. She's better than the regular
stretched
models.
Stretched out all over the place. Look at her, like, on the back of that chair, for goodness sake.
Looks like she works out.
Baby.
Mother of two or three, I think.
So oh, my was, God. She's stunning. Yeah.
So here's what the Army said to her. The staff sergeant's alleged action does not meet the high standards we expect of our airmen.
Oh, give her a break.
Apply with the Air Force's core values of integrity, blah, 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 blah. Let's welcome. Welcome. We're now making headlines in the new Playboy. Here is Staff Sergeant Michelle Manhart. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. And you
wow, are... you're a knockout.
Thanks.
So you have buses. You've squeezed out how many kids?
I have two.
Two.
I squeezed out two.
Incredible.
Wow. I mean, did you ever model before this?
I did some small stuff, you know, here and there, everything that I could to, you know, to try and get it to take off.
Can I look at the pictures again, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm hogging them. I'm sorry.
Why don't
sorry
you ask
that.
Her something?
You know what?
Look.
Yes,
the
I will.
Air Force, not
hey,
the Army.
Michelle, the
oh,
first.
I'm sorry. I said Army. My apologies.
Yeah, she's in the. She's an Air Force Staff Sergeant. While Don's looking at the pictures, the first question I have for you is seriously, what is the worst thing that could happen? They say they're investigating at the Air Force. Can they court-martial you for this type of thing?
Well, I'm sure that if anybody wants to do something, they'll put their mind to it. They'll get it done. But I don't foresee that. Several people I've spoke to in the legal department don't see that because that's a long process. And that's something, I mean, we have individuals who get, you know, DUIs in the Air Force, and they don't even get court-martialed.
Okay.
And even worse. So that's, I mean, it's extreme. So but if they want to do it, you know, I'm sure they can find a way.
So is your goal to get back into active duty, to go back, back into the Air Force?
I'm kind of in the middle. The longer that this takes, the more leaning.
You show everything. You're good.
Don's looking at the pictures again. We're passing the pictures back and forth. We just can't. I heard before I saw the pictures, and I heard you were like a sergeant in the Air Force, I did not expect to see this woman I'm seeing here. My God.
Well, there's like all those blogs and stuff out there, and there's actually one that says, look at her. She's not even Playboy material.
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch. No. I don't understand that.
I want to tell you what
you're Playboy, better than Playboy material.
Playboy material, for goodness sakes. You have, if I could say this without you being offended, perfect areolas. I mean, look at those. Remember we had that girl call the show last week?
Mm-hmm.
My God, are those.
Are you going to be going on any kind of tours?
You know what? That's up to Playboy. I would love to. We talked, a lot of the military guys want me to do a USO tour around the world and over to the desert.
Nasty
which I
would
girl. Love to do.
You're wearing your dog tags.
I mean, that is a great. I mean, whoever the photographer was, he did you justice here. That's for sure.
Now, can I ask you one real question about being in Playboy? Because you're obviously a real woman, not a model. Beautiful. And as I mentioned, those areolas. Just 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Absolutely.
Seriously, if you don't mind, Michelle, Playboy is famous for airbrushing. And I'd like to know, did they enhance you? Don't be offended by it, but what are you looking
at? Oh,
like
I'm that? Not offended at all. No, not at all.
No, I was talking to the guy in the next.
Those are my boobs. I paid every penny of them. They belong to me.
And you're honest about that. That's good.
The guy in the next room.
Those are my abs. I work hard, and they actually look better today. Okay,
yeah, I mean, good. You can tell right away that by looking at you that you do have that kind of athlete's body. You work out a lot.
Look right below my butt. See my thigh, how thick it is?
Yeah.
That's all me.
Hello.
All right, well, no, I see. Thank you for answering that question. Well,
so you're married?
I am.
Happily? Oh.
How does he feel?
Yeah, how does hubby feel?
How does he feel?
He's very supportive. I mean, he's excited about the whole thing.
I mean, for goodness,
you know how guys are.
Mm-hmm. Goodness sakes, Michelle. I mean, you can see where the babies come out.
a little more than normal for a Playboy right there. That's the picture
right
you like. Yeah.
Of Michelle laying on her side is spectacular.
Yes.
Just really. So
I don't like that picture.
You don't?
Oh, I
because
do.
You can see my freckles on my chest.
Okay.
The anti-airbrushing.
No, I was just asking about the. I wasn't singling you out, and I'm glad.
No, because they say that there's stuff you should see. There are so many.
See, I think freckles are sexy. I think freckles are very sexy.
There's a lot of blogs and stuff out there. Oh, she's not Playboy material. Oh,
don't
she's airbrushed. That's not really her face. Stuff like that.
I have a question about some of the action photos where they show you like behind a gun at one point on some sort of aircraft, and then they show you with the. Are you you're a staff sergeant? Is that like a DI? Do you do drill sergeant stuff at all?
Well, the first. Let's see. There's four photos on the left.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. On the top and bottom, I'm on the top and the bottom. On the top and the bottom, uh-huh. Those are both taken of like what I would do as a military training instructor.
Well, so you are a training, so you're like the clip of Arlie Ermey that we play in Full Metal Jacket. You do a lot of that, and I do.
That's exactly what we do. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So when exactly did the Air Force come to you and say, hey? This is Hinky. We don't want you in our Air Force.
I think I missed that. I'm sorry.
When did they have a problem? When did they let you know, hey, this is not kosher. We're going to investigate this.
Well, this is what happened. Thursday the 4th, which was a week before the issue came out, because the BX, of course, gets it early. I just went to my boss and said, hey, in case you get any phone calls, from anybody that you know and asking if it is me, it is. Just kind of as a heads up, so it wasn't one of those, I don't know, let me ask her. And so he said, well, that's a pretty big thing. Let's go tell the captain. So we went and told the captain, and the captain said, well, that is a big thing. Let's go tell the major, just to warn people. And we went to the colonel, and then from there, the colonel took it up. And in a matter of minutes, to my knowledge, it went, from that location all the way to the chief of staff, apparently. So it was kind of quick. And then, they told me, sit down, don't go teach your line, stay off the street, so to speak, the MTI terms, and just hang out. I was like, okay. So I waited a few hours, the whole hurry up and wait the government has us do. And then they had me, they said, you need to report into your commander's office. I reported into my commander's office, and she said to me that she needed to remove my campaign hat, which is my military training instructor hat, and that she was removing me from my duty as a military training instructor pending the outcome of an investigation, which kind of was kind of odd because I didn't know what the investigation was going to entail. Now, I told them everything. I showed them a copy of it. I mean,
it's kind of funny. They're saying they're investigating. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you did.
All you gotta do is buy the magazine. Have you served our country overseas?
Have I what?
Have you served our country overseas?
Oh, yes, sir, and I would go in a minute again in a heartbeat. I volunteer all the time, and I never get to go.
So where have you been? Where have you been in your
mind? I was in Kuwait City, right on the border.
Oh, okay, so you've been over there. And what would you do if, like, this all pans out, you go back into the Air Force, and one of your recruits was to walk up to you and say, hey, I saw you in Playboy, you looked hot. How would you handle that situation?
You know, people ask that, but I don't – I mean, I worked in this job for a while, and I don't think they'd be like that for a lot of reasons. I've gotten a lot of emails from past ailmen that I've pushed, you know, saying – supporting and whatnot, but I've seen people come through basic training in which I knew before they got there. Being that we came prior to here, I was involved a lot in Air Force recruiting. So in recruiting,
they ought to use you for recruiting.
I mean, they quadruple
this
their numbers.
Magazine is the best bunch of recruiting I've seen.
You ever have any recruits that need any special extra attention?
Yes.
Are you typing there in the background?
I'm sitting on the floor.
I hear clicking in the background.
Sitting on the floor.
You're sitting on the floor?
I'm sitting on the floor in my bedroom.
This is horrible, but I have to ask you now because you said that. What are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing this really cute pink and gray sweatsuit with no underwear and no bra.
Oh.
It's freezing cold down here in Texas.
Oh, yeah, my God.
How old are your children, baby?
I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Wow. Sexy.
Wow.
My sexy. God,
fantastic.
Have you thought about that 10-year-old?
This is a Playboy question.
Yeah,
right?
A Playboy question. Have you thought? I mean, 10 is certainly enough he's going to go to school and someone's going to say,
hey, oh, she.
Oh, she is.
Never mind.
See, girls are so much more cooler than boys. I mean,
she couldn't wait to tell her friends. She thought it was the best thing ever.
It is a little different, I guess, than it used to be. Do you see yourself getting back into active duty? Do you see that?
I don't know. I'm not a palm reader.
Oh, you can read my palm.
Because it sounds to me, talking to you, like you probably think maybe your Air Force days are behind you and you want to do other stuff. Because I'm sure you're getting a lot of offers after this, right?
Well, I mean, if I get to stay, then I'm definitely going to keep pushing forward the way I always have. And if they decide, you know, however they're going to go about it, if they decide that, you know, this shouldn't keep up, then I am going to pursue other.
Hey, listen, you know, we had a Playboy Playmate that wrote a book about Hef. If they invite you, have you been invited to the mansion?
I have.
Do you know, but don't go to Hef's room.
Watch out for Hef. He likes having these.
He likes to rub his whole body with baby oil.
And that, then
he, he likes to finish off in front of everybody. We heard that.
That's
not
what,
a joke.
And gay porn.
I'm sure it's nothing you haven't seen in the Air Force, but just beware if you go out to see Hef.
Is your husband military?
He is.
And how are they treating him? Because that's got to be tough for him, I would imagine.
No, it's not, actually. I mean, nothing's really changed other than his friends say, hey, I saw your wife. She's hot, you know. Okay. Other than that, it hasn't. Wow. His friends are really
supportive. Is he a sergeant also?
He is.
Okay. And so does he do the drill instruction?
Sergeant.
No.
Sergeant at arms.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, your arms. Okay,
you can't get over those pictures, can you? No, Don's still staring at the pictures.
Wow, she's good looking. She's there's a bulletin. She's good looking.
Well, what's your ultimate? What do you expect to happen with this? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but
the
what would you like to see?
The line just
she gone?
Oh no. Yeah. The line just done went Lily Munster on us.
Who's on the cover of that Playboy there?
Who knows?
Who is that?
Who the hell is that? Betty Page?
No, cracks me up.
Betty Page.
Yeah.
I'm Betty Page. Yeah. That looked like the Crypt Keeper, wouldn't it?
Some chick from Battlestar Galactica.
I'm done with that lady.
You done with her now?
Yeah, she was very nice.
She was nice.
She was nice. And we'll see what happens.
Very nice.
Surprising photographs.
Very nice.
I expected those photographs to be a little more mannish. She's all woman. Yeah.
I'm glad she brought that up about the fact that she had freckles on her boobs, because that is the big rap about Playboy, that it's airbrushed to the max.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, look at the chick who's in the middle this week.
All the right. Centerfold?
Yeah, yeah. Look how airbrushed she is. I mean, that's...
That almost looks like a painting.
She's good looking.
Tradition.
Right? I mean, that's J.O. material.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did anybody happen to catch that during the Ravens game? When they kept talking about Jonathan Ogden, they kept calling him J.O.
Oh, no. Really?
During the game, the broadcasters kept saying, well, I wonder what J.O.'s going to do. We're going to have to ask J.O. about that. And I was thinking about something totally different.
Sure.
You're fixated on the magazine as well, aren't you?
Well, that picture on the cover, she's got to hike those drawers up a little bit.
You see her,
or not.
You see her hiney.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her butt. Yes. All right, well, thank you very much.
You throwing that away.
Don't throw that away.
You throw that away? Just casually throw that away?
It's $5. Go buy one at 7-Eleven.
No, come on. Don't throw. That's ridiculous.
Rob, get that out of the garbage, please.
I'll eat that out of the garbage.
There you go, Michael.
I'll have that piece of pizza.
There you go.
There you go. Are. Is there any goo on it or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Not yet. All right.
Not yet. No goo from the garbage.
Okay.
Not yet.
All Cocktails, right. Chemistry, corsets.
Thank you.
And the Art of Seduction.
Okay. Wow. We've not gotten to. Thank you to Michelle Manhart. We have not gotten to chatting about 24 yet.
No.
We have not yet heard the sex ed tapes. We've not heard the Paula Abdul tapes. We've not heard, what Mike had to eat.
Well, yes. I did that a lot, too.
Yeah, excuse me for that. We'll get to some of that when we come right back.
Very good.
More show coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Who shares that information?
That too. That too. I was thinking something else. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Which tape? I don't know which tape.
No. You played the right tape.
It. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's it.
I was just thinking that, the team. But don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's all related. Sure. It's all related.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. We have the rest of that sex ed tape to hear.
Good.
Also, we have a brand new, a clean copy, finally, of the entire, Paula Abdul drunk ramble, and it is uncut.
This is new. We've heard none of this. This is from when she did Dallas-Fort Worth, and it is the total piece.
Okay.
And there's no excuse of her talking to two people at once.
You know, in the post today, somebody wrote that Paula was normal. And I don't know what show they were watching last night.
Or Paula.
But Paula was limited to hardly any TV time. And every time you saw her, there was something very, very wrong. And I just think people ought to be paying attention to this.
Well, now you're talking about Paula Abdul on American Idol.
Yeah, even
night.
On American
you're,
Idol,
you're
I was
not
watching her
you're
very
not talking
closely.
About during these doing these circuits of interviews where she was effed up, right?
You know, I was talking actually on the show American Idol last night. She had so little time. They gave her so little face time on American Idol. And when they would get her reaction, it was this twitchy, kind of slurred.
Writhing around the
writhing.
Table.
She was all over the place. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
She looked normal to me.
I mean, that is normal.
Really,
her.
I'm kind of used to it, I guess.
That's her, yeah.
Kind of used to it.
I was watching her like a hawk. Even when they'd have the long shots, I'd just be staring at her and her face that looked as though it was in some sort of frozen expression.
I did check out her balloonish cleavage, though.
Yes, yes, she was showing that.
She had those pushed together at one point.
And I loved Randy's pink striped shirt with a white collar.
His were pushed
just
together
dreamy.
As well.
There That's for Randy Jackson. How's that diet going, my friend?
And Jewel looked pretty good.
Yeah. How you doing, dog?
Yeah.
Oh, Jewel. Yeah. Snaggletooth.
Oh, she looked hot.
You want to talk about having a couple of babies that she had strapped down to her chest.
Oh, yeah. She looked hot. She really did.
Oh, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And, for me, I don't, as I told you many times, I don't care about where everybody sucks. The American Idols where they're no good. Right. But I did find a part to like about it. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I like Simon. I really like his attitude where he says stuff that you know is not scripted, like where he says at one point, is this what the show has become now? Mm-hmm. None of these people will have a chance of making it. Why are we even here? I'm watching it going, oh, you're my guy.
Legitimate anger because he's obviously in that room for a good deal of time. Yeah. And they really, I think at a certain point, they want to have the real people come through. And it seems like every season they get more and more people that are just showing up to get some TV time.
And having spent time in the Twin Cities with my daughter, my grandkids, I can tell you that was about the best that Minneapolis has to offer. And boy, were they pissed off at Minneapolis. Like everybody that was bad, they'd come in and go, well, you're the best that Minneapolis, Minnesota has to offer.
But as bad as Minneapolis was, the promos for
Seattle.
In Seattle with Super Dave and Tom Gavin auditioning really looks like it's going to be special.
They look pretty good. Okay, do you want to hear the latest Paula Abdul's drunk tape?
I really would.
Or do you want to go back to the dreams that are not dry?
I can we just get Paula Abdul out? I'm fascinated with
her.
I really
am.
So
this is not the one from Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York. This is from the same day, though, right?
Fox, Dallas-Fort Worth. Yeah, okay. That evening.
Same batch.
And when you listen to this, I would appreciate people thinking along the lines of, What type of substance are we dealing with here? Because I really have no idea. I've heard that she's on prescription medication, but I don't. And a lot of people joke
that
she's
nail infection,
doing...
Mike. Don't forget, she had that nail infection.
Is that a staph infection like Rosie had? The same type of thing?
Hi, Rosie.
Lingering. I've seen this video that goes with this audio. Have you ever seen when a parrot gets upset and starts swaying back and forth like what's going to attack? That's how she looks during this.
Okay.
Never still in her chair.
All right.
Say hello.
Hi, Paula. It's Maria in Dallas.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
I'm great. Are we ready to go?
Ready to go.
Thumbs up.
Ready to go.
All right.
Hold on. Are they on the air at that point? Or is
Sounds like they're recording it.
Yeah, they're recording it, and that's the full tape. That's like the downtime.
Gotcha.
Okay. American Idol season is ready to go. Paula Abdul joins us this morning. How are you, Paula?
I'm doing very well, Maria. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, doing great. And, you know, we're so excited about American Idol, as we always are around this time of the year. How are you feeling about this season?
I'm feeling great about this season. I'm not one of the biggest fans of the...
Stop for 1 second. Sounds to me like my first diagnosis would be a nasal condition. She sounds a little nasally to me.
Hmm. Read into that what you will.
Hey, we were alive in the 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we were.
You know,
a little too.
It's interesting
alive.
You say that because watching her, it seems she is awfully twitchy.
I think you've had that theory before about her. I was just noticing her that she has that very day is off. How's it doing? Well, not quite this bad.
How are you? Where's my pen cap?
She's keeping her weight down.
Getting auditions because I know how silly they are, but I love when it gets straight to the talent. This is the first season that I am so excited to watch the auditions because they're so
They always are a little bit, huh? But I guess each year more of those kind of people are encouraged. Come on over and try out, huh?
oh boy, are they encouraged. By their parents, too, mostly.
They think they can sing. What is up with that?
It's a disease called fame.
Oh, no. And remember last year there was somebody.
She was one of your clueless anchors.
I was just going to say the same thing, Mike. While it is fun to listen to Paula Abdul,
right.
You could also listen to this tape and just listen to the retarded woman who has not a clue. Who, you know, in Paula Abdul's defense, is throwing out the stupidest form of the most banal question. You know, so are things going to be exciting this year on American Idol?
Why are so many people auditioning? You know, that guy from San Francisco yesterday had at least an observance of Paula being a little wobbly. I thought that was interesting.
That's why you go back to my theory, my original theory. Ladies should only be weather girls wearing miniskirts. Thank you. Back to the
that actually had seen yours and Randy's DVD, and you guys asked them, hey, take some voice lessons. And they were like, yeah, we watch your DVD. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, and Simon had a blast about that one. He had a blast.
Remember that?
So what?
So has anybody wowed you during this audition period?
There are a definite number of contestants that are really, really special who have wowed us. They're
you know,
smart.
You know, in her defense,
it's impossible for her to have a train of thought. Right?
But in her defense, is it not possible that she is somewhat sleep deprived? That she has done,
of course,
thousands of these junket interviews, and
of course,
this is just another. She's just sitting in a room somewhere.
Yep.
Just looking at a monitor
with a camera. She doesn't even know who she's talking to.
Right. Yeah, and she's just blah 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 blah. I mean, I don't hear the drunky part here.
No.
I don't hear it.
I don't
like
think it is drunky. I think it's something else.
They know who they are as an artist. They're a little savvy, and they take things a little bit tongue-in-cheek. So it's a different kind of group of contestants this time.
Anybody from Texas that you remember specifically? How's the talent in Texas?
Hold on. Who's been sniffing?
That was Paula.
It's Paula.
That's her second class.
Okay. Well, hello. The nose knows, okay? The first time I heard that, seriously, I thought that was Mike goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't you doing
no,
that.
No.
That wasn't you the second time.
No, because I am really riveted to this because I'm fascinated by Paula Abdul. It's different than last season. There's something wrong.
Okay. Are you saying she has allergies?
Yeah.
Texas is always pretty good. There are a few people representing that I remember who've done really well this time around.
What about all of the drama that goes on between all of you guys? You all have said that it is a dysfunctional family. What do you have to say about that? Are you feeling me or are you sleeping on me?
Hold on a second. You know, someone should really take this lady out and just put her out of her misery.
No question.
This lady who was on TV for, and what the hell? She must be drop dead gorgeous.
Good looking lady. But she did just ask Paula if she was sleeping.
Yes.
She said, is that true or are you sleeping?
No, I didn't even notice because it was just that monotone.
Was the context of the question, is Paula Abdul sleeping or was she talking about the relationship that they have with everybody?
I believe she was asking Paula if she's sleeping on me during the interview.
Right.
That's
okay.
How I read it.
Is that what you just said, really? Yeah. Because yeah. I just heard like Charlie Brown teacher.
Right.
Here's her reply.
No, I'm trying to think of a very specific situation that happened.
Yes.
And I hope it ends up being on, not on the cutting room floor, but you get to see what happened. There's a very big fight that happens, and it's regarding when we were in Texas. So it'll be interesting to
okay,
see.
There was another sniff too.
Uh-huh.
It's edited together because it's pretty darn funny.
It's cold.
Well, we can't wait to see that. How about you personally? I know last year there were so many rumors going on. Are you sick of that, Paula?
I've been famous now. It's my 20th year in the business. Yeah. I'm kind of immune to it.
What was that? Was that immune?
Immune.
Is immune turned into, I'm kind of immune to it. Why are you hanging me?
It gives, if my dad goes, honey, it gives you edge. I go, thanks, Dad. Like, I don't have edge. He goes, hey, you're America's sweetheart. Come on, get some edge going.
All right, now wait a minute.
Okay, hold on.
I said before
this is random
that I didn't think it was booze. But I'm telling you, I am now thinking.
Mike, I'm going the other way. This is the ramblings of a cokehead. Really. I mean, rent Goodfellas, and she could play the Ray Liotta role right now. She could be driving around pretty sure that there's a helicopter following her everywhere.
Maybe there are a few things at play here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm even going to include maybe it's a head cold and she took medication for it.
Right.
Sure. I'll give her the benefit
of
the doubt.
That's right, Mike.
That's right.
But who knows?
Or Dad. We'll see what happens. For me, it's all fun. As long as I can keep fighting with Simon, it's all cool.
Awesome. Well, you look very energetic and ready to go this morning. Thank you for taking the time to talk to
me. You look very energetic and ready to go.
She just asked her 2 minutes ago if she was sleeping.
Yes. That's okay. Right.
All right.
Awesome. Okay. And, of course, every anchor like that also gets one of these in. Ooh.
Now, listen to the close. The close is good because it's not a clean edit.
What?
Right on. Hey, Maria, let's go dancing when I'm in Dallas.
I'm ready. You know where I'm at Fox in Dallas. Come find me. We'll go dancing.
Ready to go. Have a good day.
See ya.
Bye. I am. I wonder.
That's it.
Wow, and a nice big sniff at the end, too.
Yes. Man. I heard her on another show say,
terrible, terrible, terrible.
She was up at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. to do these interviews.
That was horrible.
All right, here is Randy Jackson, dog. Randy Jackson. Hello there, Randy. What do you have to say, Randy Jackson?
Randy, what's going on there? We asked Ryan Seacrest, actually, yesterday about it. He sort of dodged the question. Is she okay?
I think she's great. It looks like one of those long days of, like, doing nothing but interviews. And, I mean, we go through those all the time on the press junkets. And it looks like, she's just like, it's the end of the day. You know, if you could see us at the end of the day in the auditions, those 12-hour days, she was doing it for 12 hours. But
you're pretty punchy?
Yeah. 14 hours, you're like,
Well, now, wasn't that a morning TV show she was doing?
She did them all day long.
Well, they get up at 3 a.m. I guess they do them through. Now, we have experience with interviewing people that have done those. Ed McMahon comes to mind.
I don't know.
And he had a little lunch.
I don't know. Do you want to give her the benefit of the doubt or what?
No.
Let's wait and see.
And I tell you, I don't want to give her the benefit of the doubt simply because I watched the actual show, which is the controlled environment where, you really get her her required amount of camera time. And Simon and Randy completely dominated. They didn't even put her on camera.
But, Mike, just from a standpoint of running American Idol, I'll just be a devil's advocate.
Right.
The only thing she brings to that show is the fact that when they get to the real people, she loves everybody.
But even with that, they give her the camera time to say she loves people or to say, Simon, stop it. You're being really cruel. And she just wasn't even there.
But who could she have loved last night? And, well, it was really last night. It was the two guys running the show. It was
the two guys being cruel. But the only thing she does during that part of the show is she'll say, "Simon, you didn't really need to say that. You didn't need to do that." And she's sitting there and she's got this expression on her face that I've never seen. It looks like gravity's. She looked like Joan Rivers. She's just sitting there with her face in a kind of a contorted way. I'll watch it tonight, and
she's
hope I'm wrong.
She's kind of a mess.
I don't really hope I'm wrong. But
she looks like a mess. But she seems to me as effed up as she has been every year on the show.
Well, there seem to be different degrees of it. It's just starting out right from the very beginning with the press junket and now with the initial episode.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good. I have a very close relative who's an actor out in California, and he was sitting in the...
Welcome to the 6 degrees of separation. Right away, already stinks like hinky. You know what I mean? Okay. Hey, I've got a relative who's in the business
I didn't want to point out who it is, but he was sitting in...
Is it someone of note, friend? Is it a name we would know?
Yes.
Oh. Well, then toss the name out there.
No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to toss him under the bus.
All right, what did he say?
He was... President Fox was on the phone with Paul reaming her out that if she came... trash to the show again, she was going to get fired.
Hold on a second.
He's an actor. How would an actor be involved in that?
You're so full of crap.
So,
hold on.
He was in the president of Fox's office on another matter.
Please, can you hold on just a moment? I swear to God, we will not reveal the name. I swear to God, tell it to Rob off the air, and he'll write it down, and we'll see if we know who you're talking about. Hold on, please. All right, Rob.
One moment, please.
Line three.
You cannot show up for the show.
Really
I'm good. Who's the actor and how are you related?
And not a goof. Don't write down Wilford Brimley or something. Write down the real name of whoever the hell it is.
He could be in Rupert Murdoch's office.
I've not heard of him.
Me either.
Well, then it must be true.
Ever heard of that guy, Mike?
No. No.
His last name is a euphemism for penis.
But that to me adds maybe a little credibility to it because it's not a well-known person.
Okay, put him back on hold. Okay, here he goes now. All right, so that's your uncle?
No, he's his uncle.
Oh, that's your nephew.
Correct.
And he said that the president of Fox was actually on the phone with Paula Abdul?
While my nephew was in the president's office about another matter.
Do an IMDb search on that name, the guy that you just gave us, please. Then we'll find out.
We'll just take a look. We won't reveal it, though.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, this is almost like running somebody's plates.
Right, mm-hmm. It is. We're doing a background check.
Did he give you more detail?
What do you want?
Well, I mean, what did he say?
Why are you hanging me?
Not more detail. I mean, it was probably 2 or 3 minutes long, and they were going back and forth. And basically, he, before he hung up, said that if you come trash the show one more time, you're out of there.
And you heard this from your relative who's in show business, whose name we're running through IMDb right now, and your relative was sitting in the president of Fox Broadcasting's office?
Right at the desk across from him.
Who's the president of Fox Broadcasting? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
You know, here's the funny thing about this. You go back and you look at Elvis Presley, who was surrounded by these people, and everybody's speculating.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Is there really that much difference? There's not. And I'm just hoping that...
I think it's about 100 pounds difference, Mike.
You think she's surrounded by people
that maybe it was 125 pounds. How much more did Elvis weigh than Paula Abdul?
250 pounds towards the end, Jack.
Well, she can't weigh more than... She's like, what, a size 4, size 6?
Oh, she's a featherweight, Jack.
She lied.
She's a tiny little featherweight. But I'm wondering, man, if she's surrounded by these people.
What?
I misspelled his name, but that's the guy.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, so he doesn't spell it like a hot dog. Let me see. The guy was featured in You, Me, and Dupree. Hmm. All right, that's a movie that I've seen recently.
That's correct.
The guy was in The Sum of All Fears. Heard of that movie.
Do you have a timeline on when? I mean, is this recent that this happened?
Why would this guy?
It would have been last spring of 06.
All right, thank you. Thanks, see you later.
Thanks for your time.
Bye.
Now, would the president of Fox talk to a performer directly like that, or would they go through their agent?
What I'm wondering is why Jason Weiner, W-I-N-E-R, why are we treating it as like a state secret? The guy's an actor on IMDb. why he would be sitting in the office of the president of Fox Broadcasting.
Ed Wilson.
You never know. Can I see a picture of him?
Yeah, oh, there you go, Mike. I mean, I only mentioned the stuff. It's like if you did the IMDb search for Mike or myself. You see the TV shows that we've had bit parts on.
Right.
When I threw out those movies, he could have been featured in them, or he could have been a standby guy.
I really don't recognize him.
I don't either.
You never know. I mean, who knows? I'm just basing it on what I see with Paul Abdul.
Well, I think we should run with that.
I think that the phone call would certainly be plausible.
Star Jason Weiner was sitting in the office of Fox Broadcasting President Ed somebody.
Ed Wilson. Mm-hmm.
And heard him say to Paula, don't be effed up.
Yes.
You heard it right
here. It's our scoop of the day.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Amazing. Breaking news. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I have to totally agree with Mike. I watched the entire show last night, and me and my wife had to rewind it on TiVo probably like 100 times.
That's what I did.
We were busting up laughing.
I was too. I was saying, look at her, because just the twitching and the stuff where she's not talking, I said, watch her. And a lot of the chair going back and forth where she was having trouble getting adjusted. And you look at, and here's the thing. She sits next to Simon, who is the picture of complete calm and control. And you see Paula next to him, and it looks like she's on those electric grates that they put people on.
See, I would say she looked fine, but what does that say about me?
I was really focused on her.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yo, Don and Mike.
Yo,
I was watching the show yesterday, too, and it looked like there was time that she was, you know, in her seat, not sitting still, and then there was one time towards the end of the show, she was moving her wrist around like she was staring at it to the right, like her right hand. So you go back and watch it, you can see it. She's looking at her right hand and moving back and forth like she's having a wrist problem.
But again, is this different than the way she acted last year?
Yeah, definitely.
Or the year before, really.
I think that on the finals last year, she had her moments where she appeared to be really out of it.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
But here's the deal. This is the first episode, and this is the press tour before this. This is right out of the shoot.
That was horrible.
I've got it. Restless leg syndrome.
That's what she has.
RLS. All right, that's Paula Abdul. Oh, hold on. You know, we've not heard in a while.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
How about that?
Simon Cowell.
Who's here for the bird poop contest? Anybody yet?
Do we have anybody? Anyone? Ferris? Anyone?
Hold on. Yanni, let's go back to the producer's room. Yanni.
There was one guy who got here about, 15 minutes ago. So we sent him back to his car, but we've had four people say they're coming.
All right, good. Well, we're gonna start getting you folks out there at 5 o'clock. Person with the most bird crap on them in 1 hour gets $500 because these birds love to crap right by our building.
It's too exciting.
Got to do this. We'll be right back to maybe talk about the B-Boys.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
John Mellencamp here. I have to ask a question that I know everybody has probably thought subconsciously on some level. Has John Mellencamp forever ruined his career and whatever his musical legacy is by those goddamn commercials that they insist on running during the football games? You know the song about America?
Right.
The song about this is our country?
Mm-hmm.
Are you like me? Do you almost want to stand up and, dare I say it, burn the flag?
You know,
it takes the American out of me because, first off, the commercials themselves.
You're a big John Cougar fan.
Yeah, I used to be. Mm-hmm. The commercials themselves, it seems to me, God, there's a lot of copyright infringement. They have images of everything from Jerry Kramer from the Green Bay Packers, the man walking on the moon, to Martin Luther King, all of these events in our history,
right,
which are somehow being used to sell a car.
Right.
And then beyond that, this annoying song that they somehow thought would become a hit but never really did.
Ain't That America? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's actually Pink Houses.
Right. Ain't That America? Well, I feel like I want to burn the flag when I see the caveman commercials.
I love those.
No, I'm kidding, of course.
I love the new one especially where they're standing out on the deck talking about, there's one caveman. Have you seen the one where he says, Don't think less of me because I have Geico.
Right. Yeah, they're at a cocktail party.
Yeah, right. And the caveman comes out and says something like, hey, I got great news. Lisa and I are getting back together. And they go, we're having a discussion. Really, really good caveman
spot. Yeah, the one where he's on the little escalator at the airport.
Yeah,
and just with that wonderful look he gives. I'm not familiar with these John Cougar commercials.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Now, I'm going to give them a free commercial here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean,
What's it for?
For Chevy. This is our country.
Oh, this is our country.
From the East Coast.
So he wrote that for them?
Yes.
Oh.
And he's been at a lot of football games this year, whoring it out.
Right.
Well, they'll have him at halftime, you know. And now, as a tribute to America, singing his song, which will be repeated 18,000 times today in commercials, and bring back images of America's best and worst moments, all in the hopes that you, idiot consumer, will buy an automobile.
Made in America.
Here now is Washed Up Has Been. Let's hear it for total sellout, John Mellencamp.
I had no idea that this got your dander,
Mike,
up this way.
It's a saturation of these commercials and the spots that they buy them at.
You know, maybe I have seen them. I've just been desensitized to them because they're run so much. This is our country.
Yeah,
I've seen that. I didn't make the connection.
I watch more football, and I guess that's mainly where they run the commercial. But it's
right.
Like. Jesus Christ, it's like sometimes...
You feel like Phil Collins should be doing that and not John Cougar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I understand. So, or Barry Manilow.
Yes.
It's that type of artist.
Or Clay Aiken. To make it a little more contemporary.
One of those artists.
Anybody, but yeah, not John Mellencamp.
Well, John Mellencamp, when was the last year he was relevant?
Yeah.
I mean, he never achieved the level of stardom. It was right at the same time, right after Springsteen had become an icon, and they thought that Mellencamp was going to be the next thing.
That's the lore of John Mellencamp, though, is that he was never quite Bruce Springsteen. Uh-huh. He had a bunch of good songs, and he never really petered out. He did okay.
Right.
He kept putting his records out, and you're like, oh, John Mellencamp, that's okay. All of a sudden, here he is. Yeah. How you doing, whore?
I will always like the one lyric, sucking on a chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze, and that's right where it ended for me with him. It was that's all it was.
About food.
I love it.
You'll never see Prince do that.
I love
Prince whored himself on American Idol, and I don't think you're going to see Prince really whore
himself. He's whoring himself on the Super Bowl, too,
but he whores himself in his own little way. He whores himself in a controlled way.
Mike, if how do I put this? If Prince had the opportunity, he would whore himself like John Mellencamp did. But really, you can't present Prince as like Americana. Look at him. I mean, look at him. At least
you could sell a different type of product with ruffles. Prince.
What are you going to sell? Condoms or rubbers with Prince?
Yeah, anything with sex. I mean, my God, they could market. I mean, you don't think Prince is more marketable than John Cougar?
I agree, but I'm saying when you're going to go sell trucks,
right?
You don't want a little man,
a
C. Smith in his purple suit out there. You know,
of course not trucks. I'm saying, but for other products, you don't think that Prince would have just 10 times more opportunity than John Cougar to be exploited?
I don't disagree.
Right,
I don't disagree on that point. But about trucks specifically, where
you got to be Bob C. or you got to be John Cougar.
The thought on Madison Avenue is, you know, you're going to pardon the pun because we're talking about cavemen. You are making these commercials towards the cavemen that are sitting on their asses watching football.
Right.
Making this goddamn All-American song over and over again. And please stop it. I mean, it's even more
Didn't
annoying.
John Cougar have a tail?
What?
Wasn't that story around like years ago where he had some birth defect where he had a tail?
Mike, the cheese stands alone there.
Now wait a minute. I know I'm not talking out of my butt here.
Yes,
I swear to God.
I heard this. Out of your
Somebody will back
butt.
Me up on this.
You just heard it.
There was some story
that
he had a tail. Or he had some sort of like birth defect where he had to be separated. Maybe he had a twin that had to be chopped off.
Somebody Google John Mellencamp and a tail. John?
Somebody help me.
Right now. I'll have something for you in a second.
John Mellencamp didn't have a tail, Mike.
No, it might not have been a tail, but it was some sort of horrible birth defect that he had.
Oh, I remember. He was a hermaphrodite.
No.
That's Jamie Lee Curtis.
All right, here's I don't want to stand by the tail 100%. I want to stand by birth defect, like either a tail or some sort of twin. Some sort of Siamese twin.
Make your mind up.
There was something wrong with him.
Is he a tail boy or not?
He had some sort of major birth defect that almost killed him. That is the story I'm standing by.
Well,
he's mentally retarded.
Is it that
he had? I swear, and this I read. This was like a bio of him where he had some terrible issue when he was at birth that they had to operate.
It was his
on.
Tail.
It might have been like a tail.
He said, "Mommy, I have a tail."
It's like his spine grew too long. Some people have that
prehensile syndrome. Yes.
Yeah, that's not a tail. Hold on, John now has a Google. John,
spina bifida.
Well, that's not a tail, Mike. Spina bifida is not having a tail, for God's sakes. I know what spina bifida is.
He had spina bifida.
Get out. He might as well have diabetes.
It's spina bifida. Isn't your spine your tail, really, when you think
get
about
out of
it?
Here. He's got a tail. Please. Get out of here.
Was it just spina bifida? Is there anything else in there about
John,
a tail?
Was there anything about a tail?
No, nothing about a tail.
Nothing about spina bifida.
Nothing at all about a tail.
Hey, but it was something. He had some malady, right? Yeah. I was right about it. You can give me a little credit on that, or you can give me that look?
No. Do you ever have hangnail, too?
That's spina bifida is horrible.
How about acid reflux?
Spina bifida, most kids don't survive that. That's a horrible thing to survive.
Yes, but they
that.
Do not grow tails, Mike.
No.
But it is the spine malformed.
Yes.
Which could result in a tail.
A tail would come out of your ass region.
I told you I pulled off the tail thing early on. I said he had a birth defect.
No, you still went back to it. And wouldn't the tail really come out of your ass area, not necessarily out of your spine?
Yeah.
Just above it. Yeah.
Well, that's where your spine ends, is where your tail would be.
Your tailbone, which is just above the cleavage.
In a human being, the end of your spine is where the tail used to be.
Right.
When we had tails.
Hold on. I've seen movies with a guy who has a tail.
Sure.
There are people that have it. What's it called?
No, I'm talking about, what was it? It's not Something About Mary. It was one of the Farrelly Brothers movies. Was it Stuck on You? I'm not sure which one it is, but a guy has a tail. Oh, yeah, the fat Shallow Hal.
Had a
Shallow
tail?
Shallow Hal. George Costanza's in that movie, Jason Alexander.
Right.
And in the movie, he has a tail. He has a dog's tail. Right. And when he gets aroused at the end of the movie, you can see his tail moving in the back of his pants. And it is kind of in the crack of his ass.
I will say that there is more to this than just spina bifida. There was something. I think he almost died when he was a kid.
He was born covered in hair.
Shut up, Rob. Somebody shut the door on his tail.
When he was a boy, yeah.
12 million people around the world have tails.
But none of them are named John Mellencamp.
No, sadly, no.
And more importantly, what about that commercial?
Yeah.
Now, you want to sell a car? You get John Mellencamp to run over his tail and sing a song about that. Now I'm watching.
I wish I had that article in front of me.
I used to have a tail. Now you buy a truck. Here in America, Martin Luther King didn't have a tail. We walked on the moon, didn't have a tail. Buy a Chevy truck. Michael Mara says I got a tail.
Lighten up, Francis.
Down a tail, down a tasty freeze.
Sucking on a chili dog outside my tail.
Got my tail between my knees.
I got my tail between my knees.
Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you got that a little mixed up there. The guy with the tail was the dude that was De Niro in the movies, Goodfellas or something.
Was there a guy with a tail in Goodfellas? I've seen
the little guy.
Who, Joe Pesci?
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, it's me.
That was just one of our idiot callers.
No,
you know what that was?
What?
That was his cell phone broke. That was a Joe Mama call.
Oh, hello, Don and Mike Show. Thank you, Rob. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to see if you guys noticed, do you think Paula Abdul, she kind of looked like the Planet of the Apes. She has that from their nose down. She was looking. Did you guys notice that?
And she had a tail, too.
I had not. Get out of here. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike Show. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Hey, Annie Garcia actually was a conjoined twin. And if you go to Comcast.net and do on their news, they have a thing about a bunch of celebrities, someone who had web toes and such. So just thought I'd pass that along.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Hold on. John called me with this today. Right. On this day in 1874, the first Siamese twins died at the age of 63.
Siamese twins.
Chang and Ang of Siam, now Thailand. Spent their life joined at the breastbone.
Yeah.
No word of tails, though, Mike.
No word of John Mellencamp?
Here are a few fascinating facts, though, about Siamese-type twins. Myrtle Corbin, a woman from Texas, had a twin growing out of between her legs. She had 4 legs, 20 toes, and 2 vagines.
Wow.
3 of her kids were born from one of her vagines. 2 were born from the other one.
Wow. No waiting.
Well, there was a guy named Edward Mordrake from Massachusetts, had a second face on the back of his head.
Two faces.
He could laugh and cry, but could not eat or speak. And then there was Lalu, the Hindu. Lalu was a Hindu born in 74. He had a headless twin attached to his body at the neck.
Yee.
The twin had 2 arms and legs, and functioning genitals.
Yee!
The headless twin could go number one.
Oh.
And become aroused.
Wow.
You know what he said? He said,
hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
Wow.
Wow. Siamese twins in the news, but no tails, Mike. No tails. Hello,
yeah,
Don.
I stand by that story.
Hello. Hey, did you ever know? Let's flip a coin. Heads or tail? You want heads or tails?
Tails. I win.
Hello, Don and Mike. What's up?
Hey, did you know how Paul always looked like he was trying to take a crap?
Is that Paula?
Yeah.
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 Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, radio pimps.
I'm sorry, I had something go down the wrong pipe. Hey, what's up?
No, I'm calling from Sacramento area, man. Yesterday, one of the there's a radio station out here. I don't want to plug them because they're a sorry station. And they
okay, hey, listen, hold on. Before the crickets jump in here,
what's that?
Before the crickets jump in, we are well aware of the contest in Sacramento and by that station 107.9. And there is an update on that. Did you know that, Mike?
Yeah, they blew them all out.
Yep, they fired. Let me see.
10 people?
The program director, all of those creeps on the morning show, a bunch of different
people. All their support staff. Everybody got fired.
Yeah. Everybody's gone. You know, and the more I think about that and look at that, the backstory is stupid morning zoo show had a contest to see who could hold their pee the longest. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame the DJs. For goodness sakes, we did that contest ourselves like 5 years ago to see who could pee the longest,
mm-hmm.
who could. We actually timed it out to see who could.
The difference is we did it.
Yeah. Who could go number one the
longest?
Didn't
we? Wasn't it the guys on the show?
No, it was us. But even if we had done it with listeners, I am sure that there was some kind of a release that had been signed. And when I was looking at the Sacramento Bee where they had a transcript of what these poor schmuck disc jockeys said on the air, I imagine there, but for the grace of God, go you and I.
Oh, you better
believe
it.
Because they had somebody call in, just like on our show, and say, hey, this can kill someone.
Right.
And they handled it from the transcript. They handled the way we would. Get out of here. We're doing a show.
Right.
Then one of them said, hey, you know, what if this kills somebody? Just a throwaway comment. Uh-huh. And then more than one time, one of the DJs said they signed the release.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault the DJs. I fault the corporation, whatever corporation it is that owns that radio station, because it's almost like the Opie and Anthony sex in the church thing.
Mm-hmm.
The company knew about this contest.
Right.
If they had people coming down and they had a release for them to sign, the disc jockey is off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be somebody at an upper level in this company that would say, hold on a second, there's a chance that somebody really could hurt themselves with this.
Yeah, it happens all the time in radio. Right?
You know, and if not, all the DJs were doing, well, I can't say an if not, because the DJs ran it up the flagpole.
Yep.
And they said, okay, and as usual.
I mean, if they, you know, we weren't there, but if they did that, which I can't see any other way that they wouldn't do it.
It said in the transcript that they said stuff like they signed the release.
Yeah, I mean, and you would think, I mean, in normal circumstances, something like that has to go through. I mean, God, everything. We have to run it twice, 10 times through stuff.
I know what our releases say. I mean, when the people stand outside today to have birds crab on them, seriously, they're going to have to sign a release from CBS.
Sure. And, you know, and all that
stuff. Saying something like,
if you
die from bird poop, we are not held responsible.
You're allergic to bird poop.
Right. Right.
We better check on that bird poop allergy.
You know, I don't fault the DJs. I really don't. And this is not a question of someone trying to be a shock jock and push it to the next limit.
Right.
This is a stupid, dumb contest.
Yeah. And you know, frankly, you know what my thought was when they all got fired? Getting fired, I would imagine, really, for those guys, if they have any humanity at all, getting fired would be the least of their problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, I feel bad for the DJs, for everybody associated with that. Because, you know, you can talk all the, hey, man, hey, no problem at all. No problem. You go home at night. You got to go to sleep at night. That's gonna weigh on you no matter who you are. That you'd feel horrible after that.
Depends if it was a good bit or not.
Tough guy.
And whether
come
not
on, tough guy.
Depends how good
come
it
on,
is.
Come on, be honest.
Like,
It would destroy. I don't know.
I might have to take two Lanes to that night.
Lawyers for the woman.
Don't make me laugh. I was trying to be serious.
The lawyers for the woman's family say waivers don't cover everything. So I suspect there will be lawsuits as well, and now the sheriff.
Well, along with the waivers also, I mean, it's, God, the way we do it here now with the corporate thing, everything's got to be run up the flagpole.
But, yeah, of course, so somebody
but
dies.
But it's unfortunate. It's that, you know what your point is, that's going to stop at a certain level, and you know what, it probably
right.
shouldn't. I mean, really, when you heard that, what, the program director, the GM got canned?
Yeah, the PD
did
and
the
everybody.
GM get canned?
No. Program director did, right. Promotions people did, and all the people on the morning show did. So, you know, yeah. there had to be somebody above them who was aware of what's going on. So,
right.
You know, I hate to give another radio station any credit, but, you know, I'm sorry someone died, but that was someone who maybe knew that there was a risk, especially if they were in the studio and they were taking the calls. And it's not the DJ's goddamn responsibility.
No, there are people that have that job. That's why they have
right,
that job.
Right.
And it's a tragedy for everybody. But you're right. You know, that went up to a certain level. And then there, you know, there are guys that are going home feeding their families after that are, you know, probably equally responsible.
Can you picture that, call it corporate? Oh, my goodness. Somebody died with one of our contests.
Oof.
Well, fire 10 people.
Yep. Bye-bye.
That'll make it go away.
Listen, I got a lunch at Morton's. Will you fire them all, please? Thank you.
Fire them right now.
And thank you very much.
Get out a memo now to the rest of the disc jockeys and tell them not to do anything that kills anybody.
Right.
But then go behind their backs and say that we want them to push the envelope as much as they possibly can.
And that would be it. I don't know how you phrase that. That would be it. Just get out a memo. We don't want them to do anything that kills anybody.
Uh-huh.
but go have fun.
Right. I'm surprised Hughes has not put out a precautionary memo to CBS employees.
Oh, you don't think that's coming?
Just like an FYI, hey, hold on, John, did we get it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What did it say? Come on, you're kidding me.
Let me see if I can find it. I'll pull it up right now.
Oh, I would imagine that's every company in radio right now. Sure. I mean, that's going to be serious.
I imagine his though, was dripping with pus, though.
Especially now that there's a criminal investigation.
Email. Oh, there's a criminal investigation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's turned
well, you know what's going to happen is it's going to be probably it'll work in that corporate way, which is
slowly.
When I read that today, I was thinking this will change once again. This will change the way things, because once it gets up into the people that like to hear their own voices, you're going to see some major changes.
Well, what did he write, John?
Basically, it just said he forwarded the article about the thing, and his subject line is, glad this isn't us.
Ah.
Well, that's CBS all the way, isn't it?
Bingo.
Well, somebody died during a radio contest. Glad it wasn't us. Your friend, Michael Hughes. Okay.
Keep up the good work.
And then he said,
hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Wow. Oh, did you read the addendum, though, to the memo?
What?
He said, P.S., John Cougar has a tail. And thanks, Mike.
I can't believe nobody called in to back me up on that. I guess all you zombies like that stupid commercial. I guess it doesn't bother you like it bothers me.
Apparently not.
Well, maybe I blocked him a little bit with my whole tail discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, and people just got confused.
Of course, on the other hand, I'm still not tired of those stupid Guinness guys.
You mean the guys that have the Lindberger cheese on their head?
They got a new one now where they figure out that they're going to make a TV commercial.
You mean the one that says, I smell feet?
No. Oh, no, that's a way old one. There's a new one now.
You got to keep up, Mike.
Come on, Mike. You don't know all the new Geico commercials. You don't know all the new Guinness commercials.
These are primarily commercials that exist in the full range of NFL games, right? Mostly you're going to see them on the sporting events.
During your mail programming. Male-oriented programming.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, Oprah.
I watched the entire game. I watched every quarter, every second, every commercial.
Doesn't Oprah
of the
have
Philadelphia
a tail?
New Orleans game?
Doesn't Oprah have
don't
a tail?
Try to change the subject.
You were effed up when you were watching that game.
No, I wasn't. I was sober during that period of time.
Okay, but you were still working. Then you were coming off one and just ahead of one, right?
No.
We weren't
no.
in a valley?
No, because it was the Friday night, and then I had the whole day Saturday, and then Saturday night we didn't go out.
Well, maybe,
so I watched the whole game, and I watched the Giants game the week before.
Well, maybe
I just don't watch all the games. I watch select games. That's
right. Maybe you just have to watch games every weekend to have that friggin' pounded into your head over and over.
Well, what they do, and I'm sure this gets to you after a while, because they do that saturation, which is the same sponsors, the same big money sponsors, that just go over and over and over and over again.
If you'll allow me to indulge one more that's really frying me, give me the red ass. If I have to see one more time the douchebag in the library with the tiny value meal, and he goes,
oh, yeah. Okay,
$2.99, and then whatever the annoying sound is that Wendy's wants to identify as the sound for their value meal makes me want to get to a gun and stand up on top of Wendy's.
And you see it again and again and again. Now that one I saw, that one I did see.
That's annoying.
But I haven't seen the updated Guinness one. I haven't seen the only one I've
now that one's
ice
not annoying.
Feet and then the cheese drips down.
Oh, the new Guinness one is.
But then it was right off to Oxygen.
Their TV commercial. Yeah, they're talking about making TV commercials. Oh, the Oxygen Network. Right.
That's what I watch.
What?
Nothing.
Oh. Okay, just thought you had something to say. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, stop touching me.
That's why he's getting closer.
He's moving closer to the microphone. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Howdy.
Theo Gods.
Hi.
Hey, did you say there was some lady that had four legs and two vaginas?
Vagines.
Two vaginas, yes.
Yeah. And she had kids out of each one of them?
That's correct, yep. Sir.
Well, what lucky guy was tagging her in both ends?
What lucky guy?
Actually, there is... Hold on.
Tagging her.
Hold on. Her husband.
That's still one of my favorite. Tagging her.
Myrtle Corbin. Myrtle Corbin's husband actually made sweet love to her twins' vagine.
Wow. Okay. Imagine three, the positions.
Three of her kids. Three of her kids came from one vagine.
This guy's got a hell of a point.
And two came from the other. Amen. Thank you.
Same father, do you think?
Yeah, no, that's what it said, same father.
Wow, same father.
He did three with one of them, or two with one of them and two with the other one.
Never get bored your whole life.
Oh, I bet you would.
Yeah, probably.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You're a guy.
Let's be honest.
Thank God you didn't have two mouths.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, the worst part about those commercials is...
The guy who's calling with a lot of echo in the background. Go ahead. What was that?
The worst part about those commercials is... Every time they put them on, they're starting to change them up when they start the commercial, so you never know when it's coming on, like they're trying to trick you.
Why don't you finish this call when you get done tiling the bathroom?
Yeah, ain't no problem.
Okay, all right. See you later. Charlie Manson, check it in.
Bye, Gene.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Justin.
Don, I don't know how you did not mention the Dodge Ram with the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They play that one every single break. And during the national championship game for football, it was the first commercial of every commercial break. I wanted to throw the plasma out of the freaking window.
I give you that one, too. It's just I'm on a little Dodge probation.
Yeah, I just love the way that truck's so tough it knocks the block off the robot.
Very cleverly done, Mike.
And you know, when he goes through the door, he's so big that he just blasts through the very top.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I just wanted to talk about that Wendy's commercial. I agree with you. When it comes on, it drives me nuts.
But is nobody pissed about that Chevy commercial?
I am.
Am I the only one?
The two noises that you're talking about, the doo-doo-doo-doo, it, like, drives me nuts.
Okay. All right,
and
thank
then
you.
The whistling.
There's nothing American about that John Cougar commercial.
God. Except his tail.
That's great. Hello. I hated it when I saw it on Oprah.
Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods. Howdy. I was just wondering if you guys have seen that Rock'em Sock'em Robot one. Oh,
oh
my God.
All right. Okay, you've seen that one?
TV viewers.
Hey, can you hear that through the telephone?
What's that?
That sound that we're playing right now?
Can you hear a sound through the phone?
Let me no, sir.
It. Cycle it through.
There's not, but they still can't hear it.
There's got to be a way.
We haven't heard it for years.
We're playing the crickets right now.
Why? I guess it's the delay. I'm listening to you online. You guys hadn't mentioned it yet.
Yeah, no, we just did. Okay.
Sorry about that.
You were late. Okay, thank you.
That was nice. He said it must have been the delay. He's right. It was the delay. Right.
We're going to need something that says, like the people on the phone, the crickets are playing.
Yes. Right.
Because we play it and everybody can hear it on the air, but the callers cannot hear it.
I can't believe that.
Let me see. Oh, we got to hit a break. We have an exciting bird poop action out of the parking lot.
The sun's beginning to go down. The birds are beginning to arrive.
In about 20 minutes from now, with people playing the bird poop bingo outside.
Oh.
Okay, so we'll get them on our hotline when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh. Yeah, I want to tell Mike, you know, I'm only 3 years younger than him. He's what, 48?
47.
47, I'm 44. And I was listening to him before. He made me reach for, with one hand, I reached for the Xanax. The other hand, I reached for the Geritol. Mike, I have one question for you. When you were in that store?
Yeah.
Where's your cost detector now?
Yeah, out of here.
That's a good little dialect.
That guy.
He covered his voice very well with that sort of yangery. I'll that drag guy. You out of town on a rail.
That guy.
Yeah, watch out. I'm sure there were people in that store that sound like that.
And here you go with your grocery store and your problems about your impending demise.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the bulletin of bulletins for you today.
Yeah.
That this morning when I stood nude... In front of my... Oh, there you go. Thank you, guys.
I'm not applauding, Rob.
Go slower.
Rob applauded.
You almost did.
Yeah, and sometimes I follow his applause blindly. I thought about that.
A lot of times we're like apes, you know. We applaud when we like something. The other day when we didn't like something, it was a
subtle, applauded when we hated something.
A subtle nuance. It was the very slow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. The sarcastic. Like when Rudy comes back out on the field after he decides not to quit.
Anyway, standing in front of the mirror today and looking at myself again, thinking, you know, thank you, God.
Yes. Thank you for your blessings.
Lottery winner I am. The white Terrell Owens.
Hello, Prince.
Looking at myself going, that hair coming out from my armpits, even when my arms are at my side,
right, yes,
has been driving me crazy. So today I took the little scissors that you use to trim beard hair and mustache hair, and actually went at it.
Did you cut yourself? You actually took it away?
Now, I want to be clear
Everybody
about this.
Everybody has that, though.
I want to be clear about this. I did not shave my armpits.
No. You actually cut it with scissors?
Yes. What I did was, now let me see if I can explain this to you, because I would show you, but the hair is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For instance, when my left arm is at its side, there would be a tuft of hair,
right,
that was sticking out of the side.
And that's what bothered you.
Drove me nuts.
Too much.
On both arms.
Do you have the tuft that sticks out, Buzz?
Not presently, no.
And do you cut it?
Yeah, I've trimmed mine.
Actually, I have had more than one person since I brought this out. Of course, Buzz trims it.
Of course.
So do I. I've had more than one person.
What does that tell you, Grasshopper?
More than one person.
That Don and I are gay.
He's told me that, as you guys said, it could be a result of some weight loss, that my arms are a little
smaller.
That's
exactly what it is.
Right. Either way, I'll take that as the excuse. I know is that this hair was sticking out. So what I did was I got some of that gel that you put on your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I gelled up my armpit hair, and actually there was enough of it that I had it coming to a fine point.
Uh-huh.
Almost like, do you remember the hair that used to come out of the top of those troll dolls?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Very well.
Right.
Yeah.
Think of one of the miniature trolls that you would get. Like,
so you actually twisted it into a point and then cut it?
Yes, I did.
And how did it look after you got done cutting it?
I have, and I'm an idiot.
Do you think anybody in the world is concerned about your underarm hair outside of you?
No.
But you do it because you think someone might see you.
Well,
better about yourself.
I mean, the beach season is so far away.
You never know. It's just one of those things. It's like I look at myself and go, God, that looks creepy.
Right.
Look at all that hair coming out. Jesus Christ. So
what does your lady feel about it? How does she feel about that? Have you inquired about
that? No.
Really?
No. Why? Listen, why would I ask her?
Because she's the only one that'll see it.
But why would I ask her about an obvious deficiency that I have physically? It's like opening the door towards everything else.
Don't you think, though, because of your weight loss and because you've been heavy for a long period of time where you wouldn't be able to see that. Now that you see it, don't you think that's there with many, many people?
Well, I don't know. All I know is that I
look at a basketball game sometime.
I sure did feel like the queer of queers because what I had, and I wish I hadn't been rushing today, I wanted to bring it in. Well, it's still sitting on my counter, on my bathroom counter.
Of course it is, with the toenails.
Are the two front tufts of hair that I got from each armpit, and then I actually reached around to the back.
Oh, a reach around.
And yeah, like so. See, now my God, Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't have the
what are you doing?
Even if I was thin, I don't have the hair. Yeah.
Your hand was just going all the way up your shirt and feeling up your arm, and your fingers.
You know what that smell is?
Lady?
Lady's antiperspirant.
Now, we found in the past we have the hairiest backs on the show.
Yes.
But I don't have
yours, I believe. You've got more body hair, much more body hair than I do.
I think maybe now your back might beat me because I finished my treatments.
Really?
Course, yes. Of course, they weren't very successful, just moderately successful.
I've got a reason.
Another one of the medical procedures that was traded out on this show for commercials.
But I don't have a lot of underarm hair.
I don't have a lot of underarm hair. I really don't. I've got a reasonable, this a little, why. Two little tufts of back hair, but that's about all.
This was why I had the problem. I don't have a lot either.
Right.
But I had
You don't have any back hair at all, do you?
No. I had a couple of, just more than one or two wild hairs.
Wild
hairs. So I had these four little tufts, and by the time I was done, they almost looked like little Smurf heads,
right?
Because of the way the way that they were cut. Because I had twirled them into these little twisty things, and I had four. There are four of them sitting on my out by the sink.
eBay.
I am just hoping. I'm hoping that nobody goes in there and cleans up today.
eBay.
Because I would.
Are you going to bring them in?
Bring them in.
Yes.
Get them right out to the fans.
Share them with you guys.
Thank
okay.
you.
Share them with you guys. And I think, really, I am not overselling this when I tell you that although I still have more than enough hair
down there
underneath the armpits, I got out the ruler.
Right.
And each of the tufts from the front are over 2 inches long.
Right. Jesus.
Yeah, so I'm not.
Too. Maybe you do have a problem. Well, no, I mean, maybe
thanks,
that's.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, pal.
Not anymore.
Well, I figured a half an inch, maybe.
I got out a ruler.
I believe you.
2 inches is that far.
Right.
And that is how much, and there are four clumps. Now, the ones from the back are not as big as the ones from the front.
You know what's going to be great is when you bring them in tomorrow, the gel will have hardened. It'll be like little
I hope
solid
so.
Hunks.
That's long, though, so you really... maybe
well,
you'd...
it's curly in its natural state, right?
And I certainly...
Not really.
I
not
certainly
really,
could
no.
have done...
No, that's other hair.
I could have made this move. I could have lifted my arm up and
pulled it down.
And gone just snip, 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 snip.
Right. But instead you pulled it through the crease.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
And still got 2 inches. Maybe you do have... inordinately long
thank
armpit. Now I'm beginning to. I really thought it was just some hang up
no,
you had.
No,
if it's that long, then maybe you did need to trim.
Would you be?
Was it long enough to like curl up around the shoulder part?
It went from right here, from like the armpit,
yeah,
to all the way here,
right
by the top of my shoulder.
There's no way I could ever do that. So maybe you did need to trim.
And even now, well, I'm going to do the same thing you just did.
Yeah.
Even now,
still got them.
That I trimmed it.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, they're still. I can still. I didn't get them all.
Still quite a bit. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, you
it's like
be
crazy able. Under there. I mean, I just put my arm down on my side, and I feel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 34, 15, 18, at least 20. Oh. That's a manly smell under my armpits, Mike.
Yeah. Red zone.
That's
Old
right.
Spice Red Zone.
Tony Stewart, Old Spice.
I tried. I really
yeah.
did. I really tried to go for it. I was in the CVS and actually went up to that. And I look at the deodorant. I'm still staying with my Satin Breeze.
Do what I do.
What's that?
I don't use any.
Ugh.
Oh, okay. Coming from a man who doesn't wear underpants either.
When have I ever smelled bad? Ever. Ever. That
oh,
you
didn't. Nobody told you about
you
your BO?
You don't want to know.
January 10th.
You know, we really used to call, we were thinking about calling you Bob Burbank.
Over Bob Seska.
No, I don't think so.
B.O. Burbank.
I thought you were still talking about B.O. Bob.
I believe in taking care of myself.
Me too.
In a balanced diet, in a rigorous exercise
Buzz Burbank.
Routine.
That's right.
In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches.
Yeah.
Then I apply an Herb Mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine.
It works.
I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol. Because
right.
alcohol dries your face out
right,
and makes
Patrick.
You look older. Then moisturizer. Then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective
right.
lotion.
Right.
And then I trim my armpit hair and go to some chick's house and put on a poncho and get out my chainsaw and play Huey Lewis for her.
Hey, Paul!
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yeah, Don Mike.
Hi there.
How are you? I'd like to let you know that my wife cuts my armpit hair while I lay on a towel.
Sexy.
That is kind of sexy.
That's hot.
Does that help your sex life?
No, but the reason why I lay on a towel is because if any erroneous hairs that she isn't holding on to, they just fall on the towel, and then we just fluff the towel out the window.
How do you gotcha. Trim hers?
And then you hear your neighbors sneezing.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I'm wondering about your technique. Why the gel? I don't understand. Explain that. I don't understand why the gel.
I understand it completely.
Because what I didn't want to do was...
You don't want stray hairs. You want it
I
all
wanted
even.
To get it all in a right. clump, and I wanted to get it all evenly
the
cut.
The same principle as when they wet your hair when they're going to cut it in a barber. Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you could have let them grow longer, and then you could have... brought them each, you know, around the front and around the back and then
right.
around your bicep and tie them in like a square knot.
That's my, them. Yeah. That was my goal, my friend. Listen, I will bring in the leave-ins tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
okay? You can play games with them.
Already have something to look forward to on the show tomorrow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing, Radio Gods?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good. You know, I just have this image of your little armpit hairs as looking like little rhino horns, and you could grind those up and sell them to Chinese people for aphrodisiacs. Or something.
You know, little rhino horns would be right along.
They kind of point
like
upwards, don't they?
Because I put the gel on them, and because I sat there and, you know, almost like if you give someone a purple nurple, You know, I just twirled and twirled and twirled and twirled and twirled and twirled.
Moistened, twirled, moistened, and twirled.
Moistened and twirled.
Those are very, very long.
And then I cut.
2 inches.
Lots of armpit hair. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Howdy.
Hey, Don, I got to warn you. My brother was dating a stripper, and she wanted him to shave his beanbag. And so he trimmed first, and he took out a chunk and was walking funny for a month.
Okay, sir, I'm talking about my armpits. I'm not going to shave my balls. What are you talking about?
I tried that once. I tried to trim and caught a little bit. Not a chunk or anything, but I caught a little bit, and that was the end of the experiment. Yeah. I was trying to, neaten the garden.
How did you go right from my armpit to my balls?
We're talking about shaving, getting rid of unwanted hair.
He was just saying be careful with scissors. That's all.
Well, of course.
I've always been kind of fascinated by that when you – watch an adult film and you see, guys that have actually not necessarily gotten completely shaved, but have just trimmed up a little bit. I've always thought that might be kind of interesting. I don't believe my girlfriend cares for that idea.
One of the films Buzz got me recently for a holiday is called The Masseuse. He got me a wonderful dual version. It was originally done like in the 70s, and then Jenna Jameson redid it.
Oh,
and of course the movie is around my favorite topic in pornography.
Right.
And what the guy does is, in both the original in the 70s and the remake with Jenna Jameson, he goes to a place to get a handy.
Yeah.
And when he's laying on the table, he asks her to shave him first.
Really?
Yeah. So she does it.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you.
Drive carefully.
Not bad. Yeah. I've seen that movie about 1,000 times.
I might have to give Mr. Burbank a few dollars to have him bring me some gifts.
Happy to.
That sounds interesting.
I often wonder which is better, the Jenna Jameson one or the one with the old broad.
Do they show both the old one and the...
Yeah, it's a two DVD pack. It's like
You've watched both of them?
Yeah.
Which do you like better?
I like the older one better.
Really?
But Jenna Jameson, nothing wrong with her.
The older one is better, right. Huh?
Who's the old broad?
The old broad, I don't know who she is, but Mike, she looks like that. Remember that chick in Playboy when we were kids? That chick that was in front of the...
stood in front of the fireplace?
In front of the paneling.
The famous centerfold.
Deborah Jo Fondren?
That is what she looks like. She's brunette, statuesque.
Got the long hair.
Big, beautiful jugs. And all she is doing... And the movie is called The Masseuse.
Right.
All she does is just shave him and then handy him. And then he comes back the next day and he says... God, I really love that handy. How about?
It's progresses.
Yes,
he works his way up the ladder.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, he does.
Fascinating.
Maybe 2,000 times I've seen that film.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah, he shaves.
That's cost effective. If you you see one that you have and you watch it 2,000 times.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. 2,000 times.
That's almost a $25,000 savings.
If you think of pay-per-view, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm thinking pay-per-view.
I can't tell you how many times I have put a DVD in that Buzz has gotten me. Uh-huh. I've watched it for 3 minutes.
Right.
And then really, I've said, I just saved myself $15.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like it's got good production values and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Mike.
Now, Mike, I still owe you a Christmas gift. And you said you're in need, so... If you could, as Don has done, let me know some ideas, what genre I'm shopping in.
Okay.
I'd be happy to set you up.
All right, no problem.
Mike likes ass play.
No, I don't. No, I do not like that.
Yes,
not
on you the do.
Big, no, I really, I don't like those movies that show, I hate watching that.
Not on the big screen.
Sure you do.
Sort of.
Gotcha.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, Don. Can you tell that story again slowly?
Oh, can you get out of here, please? Wow, yeah, on the phone. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Howdy, what's up?
I am also a member of the Man Grooming Club.
All right.
And I hurt myself. You got to be careful, man.
It's dangerous.
I got this thing for Christmas. It's on like a swivel attachment, and is he not supposed to, like, usually I got to ask the wife to do my back, like, before I go to the beach, like, once a year. I thought this way I wouldn't have to bother her. And
this is Robin Williams calling in right now.
I am pretty. Yeah, I'm a beast, man.
Really?
Yeah,
do you have to shave the part of your neck between your chest and your neck?
Oh, that's a good question.
Otherwise, it'll connect.
I think of it as accidentally shaving too low.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know
what
I mean? But it would connect, right?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I go in the bathroom. I lock myself in there. I bring a little mirror and started the back, and that was fine. And then I'm looking at my chest. I'm like, I'll do a little trim. And I went too far.
Faggot.
And, I cut my nipple there.
Very,
very painful.
Sure.
Then I figured, you know, what the heck? So I went ahead and I did down there.
And cut the other nipple.
Yeah, and you know what? I snipped the baggage a little bit.
Yeah.
That hurt.
All right, okay. I'm hanging up on that guy.
You know, my sister.
I don't want to hear that.
My sister and brother-in-law used to have this really good friend named Howie. And Howie, this will probably get back to Howie. Howie's the hairiest guy I've ever seen.
Wow.
And now Harry Howie is all gray. But they had a great nickname for him. They called him the Loom.
The Loom. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, idiots, both of you.
Thanks, right, hi.
Hey, that adult actress, the fine one that looks like an Indian lady, her name is Hyapatia Lee. She actually pretends to be Cherokee, but I think she's just straight up white.
Is that the one in the
masseuse?
That's
confirmed. We just brought that up on the internet.
Oh, it's Hyapatia Lee.
Oh, and the gentleman is Randy. The gentleman is Randy Spears.
She was great. Yeah.
Boy, is she great.
I'm thinking about guys in porn. You get guys that have been in 7,000 movies, the same guys. Yeah. You get tired of seeing them.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, Hyapatia Lee. You're right.
Man.
1990.
Is that when she did it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't in the 70s?
No.
Wow.
The 90s.
When was the Jenna Jameson one done?
That'd be very modern.
Okay. 2004. Right.
All right, thank you.
I think Hyapatia Lee surpasses Jenna Jameson in her prime.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Jenna Jameson, listen, she's great and everything, but
she's a tad skanky.
You can see, though, I mean, she's like Scar City.
Like a porn actress wouldn't be skanky.
She is Scar City when you take a look at those boobs.
Oh, absolutely.
I got a couple of her virtual CDs where, like, she does whatever you want.
Right.
You know, I mean.
I didn't know you were such a collector.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I mean, I
think I had something to do
you had,
with
you
that.
You had everything to do with that. He got me one where she like gets in crazy poses.
Really?
Yeah. And
Jenna Jameson one of your favorites?
Not really. She was a gateway, a porno gateway for me.
Okay.
And because of those scars, she may not survive in the new high def world of porn.
Yeah. Anyway, there's one of these things. Buzz got me this interactive one where she's like bending over and going, "Hi, baby," and she bends over and you just see a Scar City.
Do they have? Wow. Do they? Because he got me that high def video thing.
Yes, they do. We just talked about this the other day.
Oh, that's right. We did.
One
right.
of the companies is Digital Playground is coming out with four a month every month starting next month.
Hello. High def porno. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh. Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, what I always found quite exhilarating was taking the old roommate's Norelco razor and shaving the taint with it.
Oh, all right, dear. She stands alone on that one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Well, gosh, I'll bring the armpit hair in tomorrow.
Some fan's going to be very lucky tomorrow on the show.
Yeah. See about bringing you some porno in tomorrow, Mike, that you might enjoy.
Well, you know what you talked about? That's interesting.
So
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong tip. I meant to.
Shut up.
Thank you.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Thank you. But he still lives at number 31, huh?
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
See, here's the problem. For those of you playing along at home,
yes.
Button 32 is Simon saying, shut up.
Right.
Shut up.
Number 33 is Simon saying, terrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
And number 31, which is right next door, is...
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
There you go.
But you can always hear that.
What's sure number 20?
Number 20?
Yeah.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
That kind of ties into the Pat O'Brien.
We have a match.
We'll be back with the American Idol guy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, the Charlie interview. Now, Buzz, you had this in your news.
Yes.
Yesterday or the day before about the world's largest thermometer.
Yes, it's just plain big.
Well, you know who likes thermometers.
Oh,
Charlie. What's wrong with
He's
his music?
He's had some experiences.
What's wrong with his music?
Thermometers.
No, it still's not working. Try it there. Hold on. There it is. Okay. Got his music. Come on in, Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
I got my safety goggles on.
Good.
When you start to think like Charlie,
Hi, Joe. Joe's got his on, too.
Johnny?
Joe's got safety goggles. The bumblebee hunter.
It's time for the Charlie
Johnny
interview now.
People.
Now, you listen to the show every day.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear the story Buzz had the other day about the world's biggest thermometer?
What?
Did you hear the story on the news the other day with Buzz about the world's largest thermometer?
Nah. I don't listen to that news.
Right. Why?
It's the only part of your show I don't get. Mr. Burbank uses all the words and goes, finally, in sport, ordered, finally today, on the political things, you know. Yeah,
like that.
Jelly beans!
Charlie?
No, but I know of it because every time I'm going to do a Charlie interview, Mr. Spiewak tells me what we're going to talk about. And he told me that we're going to call a guy that's got a thermometer that's really, really big.
It's the biggest one in the world, Charlie.
Wow!
Mm-hmm. How big is this goddamn thing?
I want to ask him so many questions.
It's 134 feet.
Right? Wow!
Now, Charlie?
That is so big!
Back when you were in that
How
place.
How big is that?
134 feet.
Big, right?
Yeah.
Four times taller than this building.
My goggles are off.
Charlie?
My goggles are off.
Charlie, you can take your goggles off.
Okay.
You can take them off. When you were back in that place,
damn it.
Did they take your temperature a lot?
Yes. Every day. Two or three times a day.
Huh.
When I was growing up, like a long time ago. Well, not really growing up. It was just a few years back.
All right.
When I was in a home. A group home.
Uh-huh. So how many times a day would they take your temperature?
In the morning when you wake up. Right before breakfast, after breakfast, right before lunch, after lunch, for the noon snack, after the snack, right before dinner, after dinner, twice before bed.
That's like 11 times.
Different people every time. And the only rule was don't look, Charlie.
Oh.
That was it.
Huh. Well, did they have you close
your
eyes? I've
been mistaken lately for Scott Sable.
Because
I look like I'm only gray.
I'm confused, Charlie. That
skin color.
If you were having your temperature taken 11 times a day, all you would have to do is just open your mouth.
No,
and
they didn't do it that way.
Oh.
They did it.
Oh, the bad way?
To talk about that.
They did it the bad way.
They're not going to talk about
male
it.
Nurses.
They did it
11 times?
Almost. I didn't count. It was normal. It's what we did. It's what was done. They'd say, you're normal. And then I'd go off and I'd do, you know, crafts. It was fun.
After they took your temperature.
Yeah.
Do they
to announce that in December, I shall be 65.
Wow.
Retirement age.
That's right. You're not going to retire.
I'm going to keep working. I'm younger than most.
Retirement age.
My body is young.
It
really is. What was that word?
What?
I heard that.
I said retarded. Kidding, Charlie. Charlie.
Watch.
Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Ben and Jerry.
Chunky Monkey.
Chunky Monkey.
Yeah. Okay,
Charlie.
I love Chunky Monkey.
Let's call the guy.
Is that the one with the pretzels in it?
No.
What's the one with the pretzels in it?
What's the one that's named after that guy you like so bad? Oh, Cherry Garcia?
Oh, Cherry Garcia and the Chubby Hubby.
Uh-huh.
Chubby Hubby has the pretzels in it. Chubby Hubby, Chunky Monkey, Heath Bar, Cherry Garcia. I forgot the other ones. And I like the Peace Pops. They're so good.
Charlie, the guy's name is, I don't know the guy's name. What's the guy's name, Rob? I can't find it. Larry.
Edie's is for fags. Rob told me to say
What's
that.
For fags?
Edie's.
Edie's
Grand.
Oh, Edie's Grand Ice Cream. Oh, the guy's name is Larry DeBoer.
Larry DeBoer.
He's at the Bun Boy Restaurant in Baker, California, and he has the world's largest
Larry DeBoer.
Thermometer.
Like to talk about it.
Larry DeBoer. What is it? Larry DeBoer?
Larry DeBoer.
Larry DeBoer.
And
Larry DeBoer.
Like Larry the Boar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's
Charlie
interview. You got the permission.
Oh, he's ready.
Right? Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Charlie. I'm from the Don and Mike Show. I'd like to speak with Larry DeBoer, please.
This is Larry.
Hi, Larry. My name is Charlie. How are you today?
Good.
I'd like to talk about the world's biggest thermometer.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's 130 feet, 4 feet.
Wow! That is big, isn't it, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
How big is it?
134 feet.
Oh, my God. How long did it take to build it?
That would hurt.
Yes. I think it took 2 years.
Can it take temperatures?
Excuse me?
Can the thermometer take temperatures?
Absolutely. That's what it's built for.
But if it's that big, what do you stick it in?
The sky.
The sky. Oh, so it actually measures the temperature outside.
Correct.
Oh, see, I think of a thermometer as something you take your temperature, you know?
Oh, no.
Pretty funny, huh, Larry? What other big things do you have where you work?
A lot of big desert.
Big desert. Tell me more about this wonderful thermometer, Larry DeBoer.
What do you want to know?
Larry, when you answer my questions, you can say, well, Charlie, I like it actually when you answer my questions, when you say, Charlie. Well, Charlie, let me tell you, because it's better for my bosses if you say, well, Charlie, we had to, you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Okay. All right, let me ask you another question. Larry, whose idea was it to get the big thermometer?
Well, Charlie, it was Willis Heron's idea.
Yeah.
He's the former owner.
Mm-hmm. Is that right, Larry?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Charlie.
Yes, okay. So you have the big one that you built. It was another guy's idea. And do people love it?
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't you love a big thermometer?
Sure. Well, wouldn't I love a big thermometer? What?
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie, tell this guy how many times they took your temperature.
And when I was when I lived at this one place, this one house with a lot of other people, they took my temperature, I think, 11 times a day.
That's a shame.
And I was 95.7 every day. A little warm.
Yes.
But I wasn't sick or nothing.
Actually, 95.7 is a little cool.
What do you sell? What do you sell at the store that you work at?
We're a restaurant.
A restaurant? Oh, tell me what you have. What kind of food? What kind of food?
We have all kinds of food, Charlie.
Do you have pizza? Do you have pizza?
No pizza, Charlie.
There. Why? What's the point?
We're mainly meatloaf and gravy.
Ice cream.
Meatloaf.
Ask about ice cream.
Do you have ice cream?
Oh, absolutely.
Hello. Hello. What flavors of ice cream do you have?
Strawberry, Charlie.
Strawberry!
Happy God, Charlie.
Strawberry is one of my... What are the flavors?
Just strawberry. We're famous for strawberry pie.
Oh, I like strawberry pie. I've had that
before.
Yes, whipped
cream on top.
Oh, I like whipped cream sometimes. Not a lot, though. No nuts.
Oh, no.
Don't
no
put nuts.
No nuts.
Do you have triple thick shakes?
Absolutely, Charlie.
I like that, too. But you don't just sell meatloaf. Do you have hamburgers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, hold on, Charlie.
Okay,
did you know this?
What?
I'm reading this thing. Is it true that you have to ask this guy? If somebody paid $700,000 to build this thermometer?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. $750,000.
Oh, my
thermometer.
God.
A waste of money, Charlie.
$700,000. Is that a waste of money, Larry DeBoer?
You shouldn't have said
absolutely
that.
Not.
Absolutely
well
not. What?
Charlie.
Yeah. That's right. But it gets a lot of attention, right, because it's so big?
Absolutely. 134-foot thermometer would get your attention, wouldn't it, Charlie?
That's right. It would, Larry. Larry, if I was driving down the road and I said, and I saw it, what I'd say was, man, I'm hungry for strawberry pie. Let's go to the restaurant with the giant thermometer.
There you go.
I use my money to purchase goods and services.
Goods and services, okay.
Yes, you know, for me, the thing is, where I live is already taken care of. So I buy, like, things, items, goods.
Okay.
And services. Like when you go to a store, you buy something like a candy bar, and then you buy, a ride at an amusement park. You understand, Larry?
Correct.
Okay, let me ask you more about this. How long... Larry, are you with me?
I'm with you.
How long did it take to build the thermometer?
You're losing him.
How long did it take to build the thermometer?
From the day you got the idea to the day you looked up in the sky and said, it's finished. How long did it take, Larry?
I don't know, Charlie. I did not build it.
Okay.
I'm the second owner.
Oh, you're the second owner. So
yes,
you...
I have a used thermometer.
Those are bad. I don't like those. Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Charlie.
Larry, do you like having the biggest thermometer in the world?
Of course.
Hey, would you be mad at me if I built a bigger one?
No.
Hey, Larry, can I tell you something?
Tell me.
I really liked interviewing you, you know?
Well, thank you.
And guess what? You know, I'm on the radio show. Do you know, Mr. Don, do you know what he's going to do?
What?
Hey, can you go up to the top of the thermometer? Can you, like, go up with stairs and stuff?
Absolutely.
No! Wait, hold on. I didn't even ask you that. So it's, like, got insides that you can travel up to the... It's like a tower.
It's a small access ladder, Charlie.
Oh, so you can't, like, the public can't? Would you let me climb it?
If you come down to Baker, I might let you climb it.
Baker, California, I'm there.
You might be a little
Baker,
heavy California. For it, Charlie.
I will ask Mr. Hughes to build a 6,000-foot blood pressure cuff. Won't that be funny?
Maybe we can connect it to my thermometer.
Yeah, and then we all be healthy.
Okay, now you got to tell him to hold on. You're out of time, Charlie.
You're out of time with the Charlie.
Come on, yeah.
I want to talk more.
Ask him if he wants to talk to you off the air.
Larry, if we put you on hold, will you talk to me off the air? Do you have time?
Sure.
Okay. Larry, then I have to actually do this now. Larry?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Charlie.
Larry, it's been a real pleasure, and I think after this interview, I consider you a friend.
Absolutely, Charlie.
Are we friends?
Yes, we are.
Then I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank Larry DeBoer for talking all about his thermometer.
If you put him on hold, you can talk to him off the air, Charlie.
Okay, all right. Hey, Larry, I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks for coming on the Don and Mike show.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold now.
You want to talk to him, Charlie?
Yeah, put him on hold.
There you go. There's the phone.
I'm not good like that. No.
Talk to him off the air.
Oh, you'll be fine.
I want to see if the guy stays on the phone.
We're not on the radio now.
Charlie's really talking to the guy.
How are you? That was fun, right? I'm nice having you on the show. Okay.
Put him back on hold for Rob. Then.
We're going to put you back on hold. Rob wants to talk to you for just a minute. Okay, I wear a girdle. Hold on. Go, take it.
I know that makes you uncomfortable.
Totally. Totally, Buzz. Yeah.
Hello, are you still there? Larry?
Yes.
Oh, you're on the air. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Yes. Yes. What?
Larry and Rob.
It's my best one yet.
Thank you so much for talking to Charlie. He loved it.
Yeah!
And we hope you get a lot of action at the Bun Boy restaurant.
Right. The Bun Boy restaurant.
He's still excited. Have a good day,
Check
sir.
Out the thermometer at the Bye-bye. Bun Boy restaurant.
You can't miss it.
That was fun. I'm sorry, Rob. I forgot to mention the Bun Boy restaurant. You told me that I was supposed to.
Yeah. We'll speak later.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Don.
Will you take us to break?
Yeah. Let's listen now. For lots more, it's time to start the show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's,
He might have said try, but it sounded like tug, and I like tug better.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to take these
Hello?
Calls. Joe, let me give you a direct order.
Okay.
When people call you and tell you something like that, you just hang up. I don't care.
Okay.
And Joe, don't be so stupid as put these people through.
Right.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Okay, now that we're done with that, and thank you, Joe. For putting those calls up on the screen.
Joe.
We're looking for people watching the goddamn ballroom dancing show. Meanwhile, I got 10 mouth breathers all on the line going.
I think subconsciously Joe wants those calls on the air.
Yeah, I know. He hates those people, but he loves those people.
Right.
You know, and Joe likes to stir it up in here.
Sure. Like, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. But I think he knows now.
Well, I'll probably have to talk to him during the break. Just to make sure.
Okay.
You know, one of those father-son type chats we
sure.
have.
Sure. Take your belt off.
Take him out to the woodshed. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
If I really could take Joe out back and really just whip him. And I got a good, big-ass, heavy belt on today. That would be a good way just to get some frustrations. Okay, now, Joe.
The woodshed.
Okay, Joe, now listen. I don't have to see your bare ass.
Right.
Just pull down your pants to your underpants. Okay.
Whack.
Boom!
I was thinking the back, but yes, the bottom.
Well, see, the back could lead. I mean, what do we do when he goes to the pool?
Yeah, right.
And the neighbors say, oh, my God, Joe,
right.
What happened?
Investigations.
Yes. Right. That's why you keep
his back looks like Denzel Washington's in the movie Glory.
Yeah. Or his ass would look like that.
His ass would look like that. Yeah.
That's
because
okay.
I've learned that from Law and Order, mm-hmm. That what you want to do is you want to hide the marks.
That's right.
So that the marks cannot be seen.
Right.
So it would have to be mainly, I would guess, in his reproductive areas.
Or you bring in a Board of Education.
Oh, the Board of Education. That's
and after
great.
Every one, he has to say, please, sir, may I have another? Please.
Oh, Joe's trying his hardest.
He is.
He is. I'll say that. We get 100% of him every day.
Always.
Which is about 10% of what a real person would give us. But he gives us his
100%. He digs that, though. He digs the whole thing.
I know. He likes the fighting.
Right.
He loves the fighting. Joe. My man, Joe.
Your man, Joe.
Yeah. I think you've said it all, Mike. I think you've said it all. Tomorrow on the show.
You know, I do like Joe. Joe and I have very good. We do have conversations more than we used to.
That's good.
And, you know, Joe, when he came here, Joe and I were, it was me and Joe when this whole thing started with him working for us. Remember doing our little Charlie things?
That's
together.
Right. I remember that.
And it's only after, like, we reached, like, the halfway mark when I really hated him. And then it's like, moved, it's worked its way back.
You grew weary.
But then he,
now.
Like, when he did the Big Pussies Motorcycle Club, yeah. then he knocked it back a few pegs.
He's just Joe.
He's just Joe.
Just stirring it up.
He can't help himself.
Right, I know.
Ed Buzz, you're always there to defend him.
I think
you
he's
are,
a good guy.
And that's, you know, that you're good and loyal like that, a good loyal friend.
I think he's actually very intelligent based on the conversations I've had with him off the air. That's how I know how intelligent he is. And I respect that and I admire that. And that's one of the reasons I like him.
So the on-air Joe is like a character?
Let's say that.
Rob, why don't you come to the microphone now when you're having that discussion?
So you're saying Joe's like Paris Hilton?
In a way, yes. And I think we should embrace that and celebrate that.
You think this is... okay.
It's a ruse.
He's coming in now.
Here comes Paris.
Here he comes.
Hi, Paris.
That's hot.
there she is.
Hey, looky here.
What you got there?
That's Jenny Finch. She's a softball chick.
Looky Lou. Oh, look at that. You got that off the intranet, Mike.
I think that's the big superstars.
What right, channel? What channel?
Medalist.
What channel is the women's softball on anyway?
It would be a channel before into you, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
206. It's something called ESPN.
I think she's married to a major
league player. That's a new channel. It's a brand new channel, Buzz. It's just come out.
Ah.
So, okay. Joe, is this a character, this role you play on the show?
No.
Buzz is telling us that he has deep intellectual discussions with you off the air.
Great conversations.
Great conversations.
We've had great conversations. You remember, Joe. Well, perhaps he doesn't remember. That's entirely possible. He may not remember the conversations, but we've had them.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking Miller beer hat, though, you have on today.
Well, thank you.
All right, get out of here, Joe.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
Bye-bye.
Just like Paris.
He is impossible Joe. To hate, though.
Yeah.
He is impossible to hate.
Well, that's because...
I've tried like hell to hate him.
I know you have.
For years, I've said he is sweet, doughy-headed Joe. Yeah, not a hateful bone in his body.
Oh, now see, you're wrong there. Because Buzz and I get more of those conversations than either one of you guys.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I get those out in Smoker's Corner.
But his head is full of dough.
Yes, but you should hear his... You should hear him.
Sweet,
you know how
cinnamon
you rail
dough.
Against the man, Rob?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, my God. I've heard that lecture before from Joe. About the man.
Oh, he is the railer against the man.
He's right.
Joe's like one of those guys that you see outside who was never in the service, but they've got on the old war surplus stuff.
Yep.
Sitting out front just going, you want to know what's wrong with this country?
He rivals Chris Owens when you get him really going.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Chris
Am
Owens,
I right about that, Buzz?
I think it's a fair statement.
I think
Chris Owens
is
known
the
as,
angriest person here.
Chris Owens is known as Grumpy Chris Owens. That's his official name.
You get Joe going, and that's on those discussions, he's got some interesting things to say.
I think a great cable panel show would be a Joe, Wendell Hall, and Chris Owens. Those three. And just give them an hour.
Sure.
It wouldn't go an hour. There would be gunplay.
There would be shooting.
Absolutely, there would.
Well, good TV.
Hour and minute 13, there would be a falling corpse.
I'll just say this to you, and then we'll close. Oh, here, I was going to say every show needs a
He's
Joe.
He's coming back in now.
But here he is now. Hi, Joe.
But I'm not angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, about certain things, aren't you? Certain issues?
Yes. Wait, put your headphones on there.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, you are angry.
Put some your things
about
on
the man.
Boy.
There is anger in you.
No, I'm just political. I like to weigh the political seesaw of life.
But don't.
There he goes again.
You are angered by things.
There he goes again.
No,
what?
Not is really.
Are these the deep conversations you talk about,
See,
Buzz?
That's a very insightful comment.
Joe, how do you? But you do hate our listeners, at least the ones that call all the time.
No, not necessarily.
No, he hates the callers. He right. likes the listeners.
But,
listeners
Joe, are but great. Joe, you do hate the man.
No, I don't. I finally settled up with the man. Everything's
really?
Cool.
This is no, news to me. Not. We'll have to talk are again.
Are we talking about the man in general, or are we talking about Michael Hughes, the general manager?
Oh, no, I'm cool with him, too.
Wow. You're cool with
this
Hughes?
This is all new to me. Yeah, I'll me too. Continue this. I'm going out during the commercial break, and we're gonna have a follow-up.
All right, well, get out on the couch, lay down, and Mike will be out there to take your thoughts.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Joe and I do some bitching together.
Hold on. Come here for a second, Joe. Really? I mean, now...
How did you settle up with Hughes? Did he buy a T-shirt?
I would normally ask you this off air. Yeah, but I'm going to ask you on air. You're not kidding me? Like, you and Michael Hughes are okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, what do we have in common? Nothing. I'm not going to hang out with the guy.
Right.
So I might as well go along to get along.
You've come to accept him for what he is, right?
I got my money back from when I got stiffed for the 2 weeks of pay. You know, I went out and earned it.
Oh.
Took a part-time job. Thank you. But I got that back, and, you know, why hold on to it? It's like Cameron.
Let it go.
Why hate Cameron?
Well, because Cameron's stupid.
Yeah, I'll write you a letter.
That's no reason to hate somebody, Don.
Sure it is.
Well, you don't hate me.
No, I don't, but you're not the program director.
Oh, okay.
I see. I don't think of Cameron as the program director, so I don't hate him.
All right.
I don't hate him either.
See if you can do what I do. You just don't even think of him in those terms.
But if Cameron was smart, he would put me on for 2 hours in the middle of the weekend, and I would straighten this town out.
Thank you. All right, Joe. Thank
you. Would
too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's enough now. Goodbye now.
What's going on? That's when you have a problem.
What's going on with him?
with Joe?
Yeah, because
I don't know something. Listen, Buzz would know better than I would.
I am telling you, brilliant. I am telling you that up until as late as last week, mm-hmm. I would just have random discussions. How you doing, Joe? And always be like, "Effing Michael Hughes. Mm-hmm. I hate Michael Hughes. Other than the fact that Michael Hughes is a jerk, everything's okay around here."
You know what I got from that? You're right.
And I, of course, would always say, "Joe, if I ever hear you speaking that way about our supervisor again,
as you've told us all,
I am afraid I'm going to have to write a letter." And
you do the slap with the backhand.
Yes, that's right. Just gentle like Burt Reynolds, though, with that guy on the movie line.
You get his attention.
What I got from Joe last week, you know, Hughes came by my office, and he always sticks his head in to say hi because we're very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as he goes by and waves and I say hi, Joe says to me, he says, "Like to see him say hi to me." And it's like, okay.
But he's okay with it now. He's come to terms with it.
Well, it's happened in the last 6 days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently.
Mm-hmm. I guess you and I don't talk to him enough, Robbie.
Well, maybe we do.
We're no one does.
There.
But I will say this. He's sounding more and more like Mike doing Joe lately than
I'm
Joe.
I'm confused by this whole thing with Joe. I don't know where this came from. This is not the angry young man that I know.
Got Mike, a part-time job, thank you.
Find out about that, too.
And a courier.
See if it was like working in a porno store.
And what he had some other cliche, something like it's water under the bridge.
Got to get going to go going or something.
Yeah, you got
to go along to get along.
Right.
What the hell is that?
You go along with the man. You go along with things to get forward, to move forward.
I know what that is. What I'm saying is those are like
Steve Johnson who just walked by the window. That is his mantra.
Yeah. Nobody does it better.
You have to get along. You got to go along to get it. Whatever.
That's not his mantra. His mantra is next time, not so much ice.
No, but Joe's never.
No, it's actually two words. Just enough.
Joe's never been one to toe the company line.
Joe, well, I don't think he is now. He's just okay with it. He accepts it for what it is.
Maybe he's getting ready for married life.
Oh, yeah. We keep forgetting about that.
When's that happening?
Or I don't know.
It? Have
I
they set
know.
A date yet?
I don't want to ask him about it, because last time I asked him a personal question, he told me that thing about his girlfriend.
Hey, look who's back.
Being sick. I don't even want to mention it. Hi, Joe.
Listen, if I'm in jail, I'm not going to flick off the warden.
That's right. Is that another stage?
Flick off?
Bit of wisdom.
Flip off. Flick
flip
off.
Off. Flick off.
Shake off.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me?
Because between the two, you make me laugh.
You're killing us, Joe. Okay, so I got it. You're just going through the motions now. You don't. You, on the inside, you still feel the same way about the guy.
Not really. I've just been beaten down.
Listen,
just like all of us.
I don't want you to be on an island out there alone. I don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. Our general manager, Michael Hughes, he's a snake. He's a reptile of the highest regard. He only comes out at night. He sucks blood out of people. He's
vampire.
The worst.
He's vampire.
He's the worst.
But here's the point. My point
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I find it a pleasure to work with him.
I enjoy every minute. I actually enjoy my discussions
he's
with him.
A total professional.
Yeah. With that in mind...
Professional jerk.
With that in my mind, I enjoy my conversation with him. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my mind, I hate to say this, I never know what's going on. Always
the
keep an eye on
him. What happened to me when that word got out, we all got suspended for 2 weeks, is that that is a flawed principle of the company. It's a flawed way of the company of dealing with something like that. And you can't get your point across when you're not even allowed on the property for 2 weeks. And then when you get back and you're trying to get back on your feet financially because it's been ripped, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's been ripped from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have time to deal with it then.
Right.
And then once you get back on your feet, who cares? It's just another day in paradise.
Okay.
What was your part-time sure is. Job?
Does anybody follow anything of what Joe
oh,
was
I
saying?
Oh, I totally know
I
what
mean,
he's saying.
I know yeah. we do, but
Mike,
what I'm
he
saying
He disagrees,
is,
as we all do, with no. the way that they do that.
But what was unexplained to the listener is that, you know, like whenever that was on vacation time from 3 months ago, a bad word got out during the best of, and they suspended Joe because the word got through without anybody hitting the button.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that's what you were uptight about, upset
well,
about.
Well, no, I mean, it's just that... To deal with something so petty in such a harsh way, when we're all coming out of this as a nation, it's not Janet Jackson time anymore.
Joe,
I think the country is getting past.
May I just
more
say
more important
that,
things to worry about?
That I think that you know that's a dangerous word. Okay, it's not a little word, Joe.
What
that word that got out on the air? It's a dangerous word.
Please, I got religious neighbors who are like, "You got to be kidding me."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But dude, really? I mean, now I'm not kidding you. You can't. You just ask Ron and Fez. Even in the
I know,
best,
I know,
it's a mistake.
Still flawed.
You can't let that word get out on the air. I mean, when it happens, they do what they do.
Yeah,
they do what they do.
I mean, that's their... But I disagree with the action that was taken, and I disagree with the way it was handed out. And you know, the part of the disappointment is knowing that nobody around here is going to stand behind you, and that's when you start to feel like, well, hey, I'm on this island, you know, so. You know, where do you go from there? Well, you just pick it up, dust yourself off, and get on with it.
I totally agree with him.
All you can do.
I agree with what he just said. That's actually the most sense he's ever made on the show.
Okay. I don't even have anything to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
No need. He said it all.
You said that's a...
No, but that thing about you pick yourself up, you're on your own. You are on your own.
It is what it is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
It's the way you got to live around here in this atmosphere.
I hate arguing. I'm going to do what Mike does, devil's advocate.
Right.
You know... If you just hit the friggin' button, we never would have had that problem.
I know, but, you know.
Okay, so take some personal responsibility. I had to take personal responsibility when it happened to me, and so did Mike.
Mm-hmm. And so have Ron and Fez.
Right.
But
so let it go.
I have, but it still doesn't change my opinion that the company's philosophy on it is flawed.
How is it?
These things happen, and it doesn't.
Joe, you
These
can't. You
happen.
Can't.
It's yeah, not
listen,
a goddamn nuclear
dude,
bomb going.
Dude, yeah, in our business, it is. You cannot let cuss words get on the radio and think, oh, oops, we just slipped. You just can't now.
Not now, but you could before, and everybody's just got to let up.
Okay, you let us know when that time comes. I mean, really, let
it's
me know.
It's here. It's here.
Okay. Talk to somebody in this company or any other broadcasting company.
They're not going
to
listen.
And find anybody that would say, you know what, if one of the four-letter words gets through occasionally that's not allowed, if it was a mistake, we'll let it go.
Now we're going to talk in circles because you know very well there are stations in this area that have shows that let those words get out and the companies do nothing about it. And now we're in a full circle and it's not even worth talking about.
Is that in our company, though, in the company that you're working for?
No.
Okay, then. So, you know,
but see,
life
now we're
isn't
full
fair.
And now we're just talking nonsense because...
No, we're not talking nonsense. We're having a real honest discussion. Your thing is because someone else can do it and get away with it, it's not fair. Life isn't fair. You work for a company that's really just busting balls about this one particular topic.
Well, the thing that I agreed with that Joe said was that when you get... And when anything happens, and it happened to us, it happened to Joe, it's happened to, you know, it's happening all over the place in this company. The fact is that everybody is... I get the sense, I get the feeling. Well, we have a partnership, so you and I kind of, I mean, what happens to you happens to me and vice versa.
Yeah.
But I do feel that we and the individuals that get into this trouble, you're on your own, man. Something happens, you're on your own. I, you know, whatever the policy is, if it's a consistent policy, that's it. We have to live with it. But, man, you get a sense that when he talks about the fact that there's nobody really behind you and that you are on your own, you know, even after that, policy is taken care of, and they basically enforce that rule. there ought to be something there, you know, said, hey, we did this. This is policy. You understand that, but you never get that sense here anymore.
No.
You don't get that sense. No, and we had it years ago. We had it years ago at another radio station and another radio station.
But again, so we're back to the point that I get to off the air with a lot of these people. So we're going to talk about the fact this place is screwed up. What are we going to do about it? You know, until the next round of musical managers happens, we're stuck with these schmucks.
And that's when you realize it. You know what you're going to do about it? You're going to eat it and forget about it. And that's why, you know, I let go of the Michael Hughes things. I'm not going to hate the warden of the jail. I mean, I'm not going to do it.
Now, here's where I'm going to contradict myself. You can still hate him.
Well, I mean,
like I do,
but I'm not.
I just got done 5 minutes arguing with you about why the company was right. But now I'm going to tell you at the same time, they're all jerks. They don't know the first freaking thing about what real life is. I mean, when you're broadcasting, mm-hmm. they have no idea. So you can do what I do. Pretend that you like these people, but inside, hate.
Don, ixnay on the Eichlay.
What was that?
What?
That was what I see. That was the, this is that we reached that time where Joe's been in the studio too long.
Ixnay on the Eichlay. Nick's on the lights?
I'm trying to say, I know that, you know that. Shh.
Okay. All right.
Now he's confused me.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was with him for a while.
It's always
a lot longer than I normally am.
It's always good talking to Joe, getting the working man's perspective.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times out here, with the beautiful life that the performers lead, we don't know what it's like for the people behind the scenes.
When they pull that, they set those guys back for a loop. Financially,
yeah.
It's a kick in the solar plexus.
Correct.
And if the management doesn't know what they do to people when they do that, it's goddamn tough when you're basically used to dealing with something and dealing with that paycheck. It's tough. It's very tough.
Correct.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the climate we work in.
So anyway, listen, let's end this pep talk now.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Hughes. You and I are the same. We both just really think he's a horse's ass. But when we're with him, we're gonna go, hey, you're the man.
Right,
and then we'll just wait, you know, until he screws it up, and then the next guy will be here. That's what I tell everybody all the time. What are you worried about? You're going to be working here longer than they will. Just wait. It's the circle of life at WJFK. Trust me.
It's gotten me this far, that's for sure.
Trust me. We've worked,
you can't argue with that.
We've worked our way through like 5 general managers, at least 9 program directors, something over 20 sales managers.
Right.
For goodness sakes. Don't worry about it, Joe.
Okay.
There'll be someone, you know, the wheel will go around next time. Who knows who we're going to get to be the new manager? Joe? I don't think so. You point it right at Joe.
That'd be good.
I don't think so.
To have a buddy like him up there?
I think Jag's on the fast track.
Haji?
He's got all the qualities.
His magic carpet?
He seems to have all the qualities.
Oh, here's what he's got going for him. He's a minority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. That is an advantage.
Sure.
That he's, what is he?
I think he's Indian.
Indian, okay.
I thought he was British.
That's just the accent.
But he probably is on the fast track. You're right, Mike. He's probably the next general manager here.
I think so.
Haji.
Yep.
Jag. The guy who mails all the prize packs right now. He's your prediction to be the next general manager?
Absolutely. That's the guy I think that's on the fast track.
Mm-hmm. You know who I'm voting for? Dave Howard.
Dave Howard.
I like him.
Show me a great GM, though, and I'll show you a GM with no work ethic.
You know who?
With a very slow work ethic.
I think you're ignoring the obvious general manager choice. A guy who's been here a long time.
Who's that?
Greg Edger.
Fair enough.
The board op for the Mr. Stearns program.
What about Ben?
Ben would be good.
I don't think Ben is a company employee.
Ben the custodian. The new general manager doesn't have to be an outside hire.
I'll sign off on that for you.
It may be that no one knows more about the company than Ben, mm-hmm. however.
Yeah, you're probably right.
What Ben does know about. Ben knows about that sex room downstairs,
yeah.
about that electrical room downstairs.
And he's the number one shareholder in the building.
Used for sex by everybody that works here. All right, Joe, get out of here, please.
Okay.
Thank you very hard.
General Manager Joe Ardinger.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get a little backed up right now, so let's get to this. We've been sitting on this all week. A great, great website. Sound101.org.
Cool.
This is maybe, I think we talked about this yesterday.
Ah!
We didn't get to it. It was the website that wouldn't load.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it now. This is a great site with the most annoying sounds in the world.
Oh, excellent.
Go to this website, and you can vote on what the most annoying sound is.
Is there a wives' voice section?
Mike, there are 24 different sounds.
Okay.
Let me pull this up now. www.sound101.org and then /vote. Here we go. Here is the first sound as you try to pick the worst sound in the world. That's the point of this website.
Are we supposed to describe this sound? I mean, are we supposed to guess what it is?
You just click. You just click on and then you give it online.
Give it a listen?
You give it like a good, bad, awful, worst I've ever heard.
Okay.
That as far as I can tell, may be the sound of either like sneakers on a hardwood floor or birds.
See, I thought it sounded like wheels turning on an old rusty
squeaky
cart.
What is it, Johnny? Do we know?
To me, it sounded like basketball, too. Squeaky shoes on a hardwood floor.
All right, here's the second one. And it was annoying, but not
that
annoying.
I would call that bad.
Yeah. Okay, here's the next one. This is like our tape of Oprah taking a bath. That's funny. That's not annoying.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
We got to put that in our replay.
That's me.
That's a good one. Here's the third one.
I love that.
That's a jet mine.
I love that one. I actually enjoy that sound.
What? That's a plane, Buzz.
What? I'm one of those people that go out to the airport on weekends and watch the planes land.
I like it.
You do it like Wayne and Garth, don't you?
Play on the hood.
Do you remember that scene?
Don't they get blown away by the jet engines?
All I remember about that scene is that would be Babraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh. And Bugs Bunny in a dress.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that was it.
Right.
All right. Okay, here's another one. Oh, vomitosis.
I call that Friday night.
Saturday morning. Sunday morming.
All right, that
Thursday
was that one.
Morning.
Yeah, that might be the worst one I've heard thus far.
That to me is way up there.
Agreed.
This is that woman that called the show a while ago.
The CBS legal department.
Here's the next one.
What was that?
I have no idea. This thing is scrolling by way too fast. Some of these sounds are a squeaky seesaw, a badly played violin, whoopee cushion gone bad.
I'd love to hear that.
Humming and crackling power lines. Here's some more of these sounds.
That is just outside the main door at Hubbard Drive.
That's annoying.
That's annoying.
That's Joe Ardinger's house. That's Joe's beagle.
Except times 10. Joe's puppy barn. Joe's illegal puppy barn.
Puppy farm.
Puppy mill.
Yeah.
Puppy mill.
That's it. Ardinger puppy mill.
Oh, cell phone ringing, obviously, right?
And other such sounds.
That's Robin Brad.
No, that's Hughes's office, where all the radio smarts happen.
I don't find these annoying. I feel like I'm at work with my friends when I hear these sounds.
We have a lot of these sounds here.
Comforting, really.
All right, let me stop it right there.
That's bad.
This is even worse than the guy upchucking.
Yeah.
Seesaw.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's bad.
That's good.
So bad.
It's real bad.
Oh. Ow.
Jesus.
That's wonderful.
That's torture.
Imagine the person getting in his car right now.
Expensive stereo.
Here's the deal. God, my boss is an a-hole. Thank God it's the weekend.
What a week of work.
It's after 5. Don and Mike are on. Let me turn that on. See what they're doing.
You like that? How's that for your 5 o'clock whistle?
I do think I'm better than other people, but I'm not a jerk.
Okay.
We are stuck-up, conceited snobs, and we're not going to pretend that we're not.
Thank you, Phil. Here's the next one. Oh, well, this is right up Buzz's alley.
Are you flying all the way to Los Angeles, or are you connecting in Chicago?
Yes, that's annoying.
One side with that stroller, please.
Anybody even have an idea what this one is?
Sounds to me like it's a big ferry boat.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, a ferry boat.
All aboard.
Seems pleasant enough.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Ferry boat.
It's okay. It's a ferry boat. This is a ferry boat, too.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Seagulls.
Oh, seagulls. That's not too annoying.
It looks like that sounds like a phony seagull.
I mean, yeah. Really, that's not too annoying. Like I didn't mean static? That the way
not
people
sure.
say that's not
yeah.
too annoying. Yeah. I mean, that really wasn't too annoying.
Oh,
Paula Abdul.
This is way up there yeah. for me. I hate that sound.
Swallow.
See, they're overdoing it, though. You think?
I don't know. It's the sound of BA rubbing one out.
No wonder I'm around.
What is that, sandpaper or something?
I think it's walking on snow.
Okay. Oh.
Sunday, you know, when we go, well, yeah, when we went down the supermarket, you
right,
said,
here
oh, we got to remember.
Oh, hold on. This one is.
Phony argument?
This is an argument in a soap opera.
Argument on PBS.
Sunday, you know, when we go,
well,
yeah, when we went down the supermarket, you said, oh, we got
to
remember this, we got
to
remember that.
And you write it all down your list.
You know, I got a better title for this. Tonight. On the Spiewax.
Sunday, you know, when we go,
sometime,
well, yeah, when we went down the supermarket, you
right,
said, oh, we got
to
remember this,
we
got
to
remember this. Then we go to the supermarket.
Shut up.
All right. God damn.
Wow.
Enough of that. Was that a fart?
Well, if it was, it's ill.
Oh, a whoopee cushion.
A bad one.
Very low key on a keyboard.
Very large vibrator.
Impending doom.
Well, you could look at it that way. You could look at it that way. Come in, William Castle.
Shut the goddamn door.
Thank you. Was the sound of Alan Linewan's wallet.
That's an annoying one.
For the children who came first in the relay race, that was Jessica.
Okay, that's
yeah.
That's annoying.
We can make those sounds ourselves.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, right. Okay, all right, Mike. Well, ain't that fun?
Wonder why mine's turned up the loudest.
Ain't that fun?
Now, that's back to the squeaky
yeah.
CD.
You know, we haven't heard his Nails on the Chalkboard, the classic.
We got a break for JB. Okay. We're, like everything on this show, as soon as we get to something good, we'll come back to it later. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.